Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard. Not the billiards. It was...
Billiards room.
Come on already. Come on. We call it the...
The place to be.
The place to be. Yes, the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said!
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
And then they trash him and say he's a fucking pill-popping, you know, pothead or whatever when he left.
Fuck you, daddy.
I don't know the fuck the Department of Health is.
You to do worse than Josh Richard.
Now I'm in love with these two chicks. I don't know which one to pick. My feelings for them both are getting thick. Now am I wrong? Cause I don't want to lose none of them. Am I confused? Cause I don't want to choose one of them. It's no doubt I think about my honeys every day. That's no question, show my honeys love in every way. Possible, I once took my shorty to the hospital. She cut the hand in glass, plus I love that ass. Short and sexy.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be Podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, coming at you live from the PTB Man Cave, and we are continuing our trek through the year that is 1997. To do that, I need to pick up the man who was just turning age 50 in 1997. That is Scott Criscola. Scott, how you doing?
Good evening, JR. Always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. Welcome, PTB Nation, to episode 169 of the Place to Be Podcast. The double...
It would make more sense if last episode was 169, considering all the strip club talk.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? Oh my god, haven't talked that much about haven't had that much Matt Rotella in a podcast in months.
Yes, so, that's enough Matt Rotella. So although, of course, Monday we did do Survivor Series '97. We reviewed Kyle Forchetti, and continuing along that trend tonight, we have a little special treat for you. We're going to live review the movie Wrestling with Shadows, and to do that. Of course, we need to have a three-man booth for this kind of activity because you and I cannot fill an hour and a half constant talking, even though we try. And to do that, we need to bring in our man, one of the original, the Core Four. That is, of course, Andrew Flanagan. How you doing, bud?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good.
I'm honored to be in the Core Four.
First Lieutenant, Andrew Ass.
So,
all right, Ass.
So there we go. It is a pleasure to always have Mr. Flanagan on when we get the chance.
All right, so let's give a... little recap here. So Wrestling with Shadows is a documentary film released in 1998. They made an agreement with Bret Hart in 1996 to do this documentary as a production company out of Canada. They just wanted to kind of follow him around for a year and just, you know, kind of Canada's native son. They wanted to do a documentary on him. So they made an agreement. They got the agreement of the WWF from Vince McMahon to be able to come backstage and follow Bret around. And at the time, of course, it seemed very innocent. But... things got far from innocent as the year went along. So this originally aired on December 20th, 1998. It aired on A&E, and since then, of course, it's been released on DVD and tape as well. So,
in fact, they just released a new...
Yes.
They just released a fresh 2-disc with like some extra stuff on the second disc. And so, yeah, a couple of months ago.
Yeah, so of course, it does follow Bret Hart around. Pretty much picks up, I believe... around the time where he left after WrestleMania 12, and then it runs right through December 97. So pretty much right where we are at in our vintage vault. So we thought this was a perfect time, as good as any, having just reviewed the Montreal Screwjob, to come off of that and pick this up a year later. Now, let's hit play, and we'll kind of talk about where we were at this time. So if you guys are ready, we'll cue this up. And everyone watching at home, this is on Netflix streaming. Andrew and Scott are watching it that way. I am actually watching my original tape from back in 1998 that I recorded it on, so... we're going to fire this up, and you can join us. So in 3, 2, 1. We all have Bret Hart walking in with his roll of luggage and his ugly high socks.
Yes.
It's a great metaphor.
But don't you wish you had that awesome hat, though?
I do wish I had that hat. Now, just to kind of set the stage, Andrew, I'm pretty sure we watched this together, didn't we?
The documentary?
Yeah, when it first aired. I think so. I think you would have been at home for probably, we both would have been home for Christmas break at this point. So,
yeah.
I definitely remember watching this with someone, and I'm pretty sure it was you. So, Scott, did you watch this thing when it aired, or was it afterwards you caught it?
I watched it afterwards. I actually rented, I bought the tape, and then the tape got ruined in a flood. so that's why I don't own a new copy now. But I did buy it and watched it on VHS. So.
There's some kind of catastrophe with you.
Yeah, I know. my question to you, Mr. Flanagan, when was the first time you remember watching The Hitman? Like, do you remember like your first matches of him? Or?
No, I'm afraid not. I mean, I know I used to see him on TV a lot, but I don't have a first memory, really. Sorry.
No, quite all right. I mean, he's one of those guys that when you first start watching wrestling, he just kind of like folded into the into the fabric of the shows and everything. Like, oh yeah, that's right. He was Anvil's tag partner. So,
well, he's always kind of my favorite as a kid.
I think he was a lot of guys' favorites. I think a lot of kids' favorites because of the whole giving the glasses to the fans, and that was something kind of cool. And you always wish when you went to a house show that you would get one. And yeah.
And I think he was real. I think he just was realistic. His matches seemed legitimate, and he told great stories in the ring. And I think he was just easy to connect to on that level. He wasn't like an overbound monster. He was just kind of a regular-looking guy.
That's what I think I liked about him. He was a little bit different for the time, and I always liked his finisher. I don't know. He kind of had an appeal for me.
And of course, now we're seeing him here, and then we're just kind of opening the movie with some highlights of him and his popularity and success in early '96. He's just showing him in India, I believe. Was it India? It was somewhere in the Middle East.
This might even go as far back. This might be stock footage. This may go even far back as 94, maybe.
No, well, it might have been, but I'm pretty sure the time they're focusing on, this was like his early 96, that tour they did in the Middle East. So they're basically showing how beloved he is overseas, which is a big theme throughout this. And we kind of jump back and forth a little bit. So now we're at the point where it's like right before Montreal. He's actually checking into the hotel right before Survivor Series. And then, as we'll see, we'll kind of take it back, but...
That was funny that did you see the name on that gate said Savio? What was that all about?
Telling me.
Is that his house?
Yes.
Ice cream, the rest of Los Periquas.
And Andy, we watched Survivor Series together. I know that, right? You were over watching Montreal?
Yeah, I definitely remember that.
All right. Any thoughts or memories of that watching, you know, awestruck, shocked? What were your memories of that?
Yeah, I was thinking about how weird that was that something like that could happen and you wouldn't immediately know. Like right. This, you know, pre-internet, pre-Twitter, pre-everything.
Yep.
Like, we're just confused for days afterward. Like, what the hell happened?
Exactly. And, you know, how do you think Twitter would have reacted if it was around during
that? I think it would have exploded. I think that would have been the one that took down the system. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it definitely would have blown up like crazy.
Servers would have felt it. Yeah, I concur with that. Facebook and any other touts. It would have been touts everywhere. Yeah,
yes.
It would have been, everything would have just exploded. Yeah, that would have been
impossible to keep something like that secret at this point, right?
I would think so. Yeah, I don't see how they could have. I really don't.
Like, can you even keep that circle small enough that it doesn't leak out?
I really don't think so. Unless, I mean, well, based on the timeline, it seems like the decision was made pretty close to the show, so maybe it could have. But I don't know. Highly unlikely. I think something would have gotten out.
Yeah, we now have, this is the clip from Raw a couple weeks after it ended when when Vince McMahon was being interviewed by Jim Ross. And, mm-hmm. He's officially saying, I have no sympathy for him, and there was the infamous Brett screwed Brett.
Yeah, and now we go...
What was the deal with the black eye? Were they trying to hide it or play it up with the makeup? I can never tell.
I think they were trying to play it up, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
All right, now we're going back in time. We're back to... Hey, Doc Hendricks.
Yeah, so we're going back to a Canadian Stampede here. So this is... They say it's about a year earlier. Of course, it's a little bit more than that, over a year. And the timeline does get a little bit wonky in this. They kind of jump around a little bit as they go through the year. But yes, we're... Actually... We're way off. It wasn't even. It was like 3 months before, I believe.
Yeah,
they said it was a year ago, but it was Canadian Stampede, and then they kind of track back, so they almost make it like this happened before, you know, in 96. But
you can't tell me, JR, you didn't own that hat.
I can definitely tell you I did not.
Maybe that's a Josh hat. I don't know. Maybe that's your cousin's hat.
Yes. No. Matt had the suede WrestleMania 10 hat.
Yes, the suede WrestleMania 10. There we go. All right, so of course they're at the Saddle Dome in Calgary, where mm-hmm. Canadian Stampede was. By the way, we have that, of course, a review both on our message board, bigelow34.proboards.com, and JR and I did a vintage vault of it as well.
Ever the pitch, man. I love it.
Thank you. So, Brett, looking happy for now.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is, you know, we've talked about it before. This is pretty much their apex and the peak of the whole, you know, Hart Foundation storyline and the Hart family, and this was really the you know, top of the world before things started to slowly crumble over the next few months. But,
right.
What were your thoughts on the Hart Foundation, Andy? Did you love? I mean, I know we were big into it in '97, watching Raw every week and everything. You were big into the Hart Foundation storyline, right?
Yeah. I thought that was really good. I don't have a especially good thought on it. Sorry, I'm captivated by this promo he's cutting right now.
Yes, he's struggling to get it out.
It's not often. Yeah, it's not often you say you're captivated by a Brett promo.
Well, in 97 we were. 97, yeah, good ones.
He was really good then, yeah.
And of course, right here, they're pretty much revealing the time frame because the Brook was together and they didn't form until...
No, there's Savio as all the kids were leaving his house.
Yeah, he's at the Savio Ranch. I like the idea of these Puerto Ricans just in the locker room making fun of this pasty white Canadian dude who...
There's, of course, Brett's son, Blade.
Yep.
I noticed he was third billed on my Netflix credits.
Blade was?
Yes.
Well, he is in it a lot. Who was second? Who was after Brett?
Oh, I forgot already.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I can't say that. I think Vince.
Oh, it was Pillman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Funny. No, he's right. It was Pillman. Yeah, it was Pillman.
That's funny. So, yeah, Brett giving a chat here, and this is where he reveals his age, and the lady's all shocked that he's as old as he is. 40 years old, of course, at the time, so. That makes him what? So he was 40 in 97, 50, what, 55?
56. Yeah, 55, 56, yeah.
Bulldog just completely juiced up here doing some crunches.
Wow.
Owen's jacked too, huh?
Is that tan or is it just oiling up?
I think it's oil. Yes,
so and here, not act is right there.
Yes, here it comes. And you see Vince Russo, of course, working backstage, giving direction. This is the classic Anvil promo. We're gonna get hungry, and we're going to forget our manners. And he keeps rehearsing it, and then he fucks it up and does it completely different when they actually cut the promo.
Oh, God.
Vince Russo looking...
The merchandise situation at WWF at the time was still kind of half and half, because that hat is actually kind of hideous.
Yes.
Hats would get better as time progressed. I did like Pillman's t-shirt, though. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Vince Russo, of course, not head booker quite yet. I think he was just part of the committee at the time. I don't think he
was. No, he was. Remember by... It was... He put him in... Did he put him in charge in early 97?
Was it early... Was it by then? Yeah, it was early 97. Oh, speaking of... There you go. A little cowboy hat action.
Yes, and here comes the big promo with the anvil. Yeah, so this is clearly Canadian Stampede now. So they obviously lied to us about the timeline.
Yes. Mind you, the people doing this documentary probably aren't even fans, so they probably have no clue.
And we're going to forget our manners. Great promo. Here's the opposition. Shamrock's like in a coma. His animal's like screaming in his ear.
Oh, I love Shamrock.
Why knuckle up?
How long had he been in the company at this point?
He had his first match about 2 months before this. Yeah. But he had been around since early in the year. Because remember, he refereed the match with Steve Austin and Bret Hart.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite descriptions of a wrestler ever from Bret Hart. Goldust is kind of pushes the gay homophobic buttons. Thank you, yes. Bret. Thank you. And there he is acting quite effeminate.
I totally forgot this.
Of course, it's Goldust it's just Dustin Rhodes, really, and just kind of putting on a show. Jack Doan wandering around aimlessly, wondering what a women's match will be refereed. Yes. This fan cutting a hell of a promo.
I know.
Talking about, I don't even know what he's talking about. And there's more of your typical wrestling fan. It's kind of like Scott's like evil brother right there. Isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Is Wesley grown up?
I got shoes!
And first appearance of Vader, and this is where we kind of see the human side of Vader. He talks about how he's developing a mini mall and all this stuff, and you know, he's acting kind of angry in the ring at the time. But
that didn't work out for him.
The mini mall? I don't know. I don't know how the mini mall worked out.
I'd like to find out.
Well, I saw him last Saturday. Business. Bastard, so...
It's so weird seeing him out of character where he just looks like a friendly fat guy.
Yeah, he does. He does look like a friendly fat guy. Like, I definitely see him, like, cooking, like, hash at a diner or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Or owning one of those, like, taco trucks or something. Oh, there we go. Someone much better looking than Vader right there.
So this, this to me is, like, the real, like, Bret Hart kind of guilt moment. You know, Sonny's, you know, flirtatious, but she's just a friend. We're just friends. It's like, all right, Brett, no one asked, you know?
What happened to her? Yeah, she was just in court in my state here in New Haven, up in New Haven, a couple days ago after constantly going after her ex-boyfriend's house. And now I think Vince is putting her in rehab. So,
yes, she definitely is. Yeah. Or he definitely is putting her in rehab. And now he starts talking about Shawn Michaels. And, of course, at the time, it's a weird time frame because, yeah, I mean, they're acting like it was a while ago and it's only actually a few months before Montreal and everything. So he's, but Brett's making it clear that he has issues with Shawn here, saying he gets on his nerves, he doesn't care for his character and his attitude. And then talks about his relationship with Vince here. So just a lot of classic footage, just Brett's kind of narrating his relationship with all these different people.
No one rocked the Paisley's tuxedo any better than Vincent Kennedy. Yeah. There's regular tuxedos, and there's the Vince Paisley tuxedo.
Is that bitch Aretha Franklin?
Yeah, the gorilla wanted to kill her. There's the Raw Open right there. Going yeah. on.
And there's Bret the Hitman Hart with his shades. Giving him, who the hell is that? He's That's got your Pete shirt on.
That's a shame. Yes.
I think that kid was in Three Ninjas.
I really hope that's true. He looks like he
could have. Right?
Is he the first kid?
Oh, looks like the Kyle Forshetti's friend that accompanied him to Survivor Series.
Oh, the crazy.
And man, now we're. Two. Yeah, I was saying, now we're going to highlight the Canadian Stampede at the end when the Hart family all poured into the ring to celebrate. And like we said, this is kind of the peak of this angle and of just the family in general, as far as like happiness and togetherness goes.
Still looks angry. Still looks like he's going to cut a promo. Hey, where are all these goddamn kids in the ring? Yeah.
I don't think he knows where he is.
I don't think so.
No, there's a young Harry Smith, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Ring.
And now we go to the Hart House.
There it is.
Sort of things start to pick up. We get a little bit of tour.
I like how the sign has to say house.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't say Hart. It says say Hart House.
Hart House. Did they end up saving that place? I know it was like for sale, and they were trying to get it protected, like as a national monument or whatever.
No, they did. It's not been knocked down. I don't know who owns it at the moment, but it is definitely still a national.
Should make it a tourist attraction. And of course, we get our first appearance of the Hart family dinner here. Birthday for Stu, and you know who pops up at the Hart family dinner? Brockus Hart.
Is he? It's Helen. He's coming up.
Helen tells a story about how Stu promised her they'd only be in the wrestling business for a few years, and of course, ended up being like 150 years.
For those that don't know, incidentally, Helen is not Canadian. Helen's actually from Long Island.
Yes.
So, but they met, I think they met on the East Coast. And well, there we go. Great that we get to see Owen rocking the new Foundation outfit. Awesome.
Yes. The background of Stu has always intrigued me as well. He grew up like on the prairie in Canada somewhere, like there's no house and craziness.
Yeah, killing
people.
Dinner with his bare hands. Yeah.
And so you guys might end up jumping ahead of me because I got the little A&E bump here.
Okay. Oh, boy.
All you see is Stu attempting to blow the candles out. There's like 3 million of them on the cake.
I'm just going to jump a second. Cake. All right, now I got Brett speaking here, giving a little speech about Stu. Okay.
Yep.
All right, I just hit fast forward for like a split second.
Diane, of course, his sister, Bulldog's wife.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's, you know, movie's given us a good little insight. You know, we knew a lot about the Hart family, but it's kind of cool to see this footage, you know, and, oh, Lord, I forgot about her, Julie Hart. The Harts can't afford a better TV. My grandparents had a better TV.
The house is $7 zillion. And-
right.
He's got like 5 ovens in the kitchen, but he can't buy a good TV.
Yes.
There is, of course, footage from SummerSlam 91, where Brett won his first singles championship. And there was, wasn't that Lord Alfred cutting Stu off in like mid-sentence in the post?
Well, now I'm getting black and white footage of like guys grappling. Are you guys?
Yeah, we're seeing SummerSlam.
Yeah. No, we're seeing Brett win the IC title at SummerSlam 91.
Oh, wow. So my version's a little bit different here. I'm getting like old school footage of guy, and now Stu is talking about being a shooter. That's weird.
Brett's like, talking right now. Brett's in the locker room. Now it's showing him.
It's SummerSlam 91?
Nope. Now they're just doing a series of shots. Harry Stone Cold in the. There's him and. Wow, they're just going so fast.
Wow, that's crazy. I'm just getting like Stu telling stories about how he became a shooter and how he learned the business and everything.
Yeah, no, here we. It's just had Brett from various shots when he fought Razor at the 93 Rumble.
That's hot. I wonder if they added that in. I wonder if, like. It's going to cut to this now. Like, I wonder if they just, or if they did it instead of this. Anyway, so yeah, I'm just getting this like black and whites of Stu and Brett when he was younger and talking about how Brett got into the business.
Oh, Brett now beating up Taker. I don't know what tag match. There he is. Oh, there's Brett and Bulldog from SummerSlam 92.
God, this is really weird.
Oh, and there's Brett and Sean from 12.
All right, well, let me know when you're past to the highlights. Now I have him and he's talking about Mick Foley.
Is Brett in the car?
No, he's wrestling.
Brett's in the back seat of a car right now. Now we have the Brett dinner table.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm at SummerSlam 91. Okay. So they must have cut some stuff out. So I'll jump ahead a little bit.
Miss Brockus. I wonder if he's asking that about Renzi killing Bulldog. I wonder if he'll say the Bulldog at the table.
All right, I'm Results jumping ahead to you guys. So it's weird. They cut out that whole bit with Stu. I wonder why. So I'm on the black and white of the family, and Allison is talking.
Yeah, now we're a little bit past that.
Yep. We're a little bit. They're showing Stu with his hair all mussed.
Yeah, so what is it?
Oh, Stu grappling in the basement right
now? I guess so. They could have at least combed his hair a little bit before this.
There's Ellie. That's Neidhart's wife.
No, they are. Oh, God, she is gross as hell.
I know, but she certainly looks better there than she at least did.
You think... I don't understand how any human male can look at that and say she looks better there than anything.
No. Better than she did... she doesn't look great, but she looks better there than she did on the Heart and Soul DVD. She really aged poorly. She looks like Stu.
Lord, she's got a gap tooth.
Georgia is the oldest sister, I believe.
Yes.
I think she's second after Smith, I think.
What a stupid name, Smith. Sorry, if any of our nation members are named Smith.
Oh, JR, that looks like your bedroom.
Right? With all the magazine covers? I like that. I had all those, too. The WrestleMania 10 orange one.
Yep, no Doink poster, though. All right, here's Brett. Looks like this is his, his high school? Vincent something high school.
Vincent Kennedy McMahon High School. Some footage of Brett when he was younger.
Little Brett.
Yeah. What were your thoughts, Andrew, of the Hart family being involved, like, in storylines and stuff? Did you always find it interesting? Did you think it added, like, realism to the family?
Yeah, it's worked really well, especially that the Brett and Owen match. That was great there. And they're just kind of entertaining on their own.
I think it definitely added... a sense of realism. It was just, more to make his stories, again, feel legitimate.
Of course, we're looking back to WrestleMania 10 when Brett defeated Yokozuna to win the title. Being held up by Razor, who looked like he was going to drop him. Does Brett have a slammy? Or is that one of Owen's slammies? Did Brett have a slammy? They steal the slammy? Diana, always the best-looking Hart sister. Actually, best-looking Hart kid, period. Look at that crew.
Not a big Dean fan?
Well.
Not a big Dean Hart.
God bless. Oh, my God. He was roughing his kids up that young?
Yeah, right.
Come on, we got to toughen you up. Let's go.
When you look at it, it's a good family, but it's also a sick family. Yeah. There's a lot going on in this family that normal.
Yeah. Stu is ratcheting his kids up. Oh, God.
Oh, he's your buddy.
It's Keith. I like him better with a mustache.
Yes. He does a good Stu impression, though.
I think he was another one like Owen, who I think wanted to be a fireman. I don't think he was.
Yes, he did. But I think he was the one that's always given credit. Was he the one that was given credit for being a pretty good booker?
Yes.
Or was that Smith? Yeah. There was one of them that Brett talked about in his book as saying he could have been like really, really good booker. It was either Keith or Smith.
He's giving me the creeps, though. He's getting all like crazy there.
He was getting quite excited.
This house is like a museum. It's like.
Oh, yeah. It's very, very old. And actually, I wonder. I can look it up. I'm curious when it was built. I don't think Stu built it. No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so either.
This is my favorite part, the creepy shot with the shouts from the basement coming up.
Yes, very creepy. Yeah. And I like how they all act like they really enjoyed it.
I know.
It was built in 1902 by Edward Crandall.
And named it the Hart House.
And sold to Stu Hart in 1951 for $25,000.
Oh, my God. A lot of leather. All leather in the house. See, this kid's pictures. So, I was going to say only five kids got made it to above the mantle. You had to earn your spot on the mantle. If you can handle an arm bar for 10 minutes, you got to go on the mantle. There we go.
There we go. They kind of got him like one of those chairs that rides down on the side. They're going to make it. Like, how long do you think it took them to like get down the stairs? They had to cut the camera and come back. And do you think these guys really were douchebags, or do you think they told them to act up like ham so when they got the shit kicked out of them, it would be a little more real?
That guy looks like... I was going to say he looked like Shelton Benjamin, but...
Well, he's like kind of being a douche to Stu, like, oh, man, what do you got? Kind of, you know what I mean? It was just kind of weird.
Yeah, you talking bad, huh? Huh? You didn't eat my wife's cooking?
You got a stupid bald head.
It's so creepy with the creepy old man voice.
And then, like, the kid just laying there watching. And this guy's like, fuck that. I'm out of here.
Yeah. Can I just book?
And And the fact that his face is like, his head looks like it's about to literally pop off right now with Stu. And I like Stu just rocking the flannel button down.
The two of them are like just like so entertained, like, oh, this is great.
This guy's ready to get the fuck out of there. He's like, I'm not getting involved in this.
You want to make it in the business, huh? You want to be a, look at that, huh?
Okay, I don't know what grandson that is. Is that Harry? It's not Harry, is it? Didn't look like
I don't think that's, I don't know.
They should have actually had this guy die. That would have been great. Stu Hart killed this dude.
Just ripped his arm off and then beat him with it.
Now he's like, yeah, I'm not going to be a dick. I'm just going to be really interested in your old war stories so you don't kill me like you did him.
Oh, yeah, Junkyard Dog, that's awesome. Oh, man, thanks.
This guy looks like he's got like the official Jim painted on eyebrows on his bald head. he looks like one of the faces. Remember that game Guess Who? With the little...
Yes,
yep.
Yes, I do. I had that game, yeah.
He looks like one of the faces on there.
Oh, my God.
That's some fucked up teeth, too.
Right? What a weird looking... What a loser. This guy really thought he wanted to be a wrestler?
Kill him. Yeah, just kill him. Get it over with.
What is with Canadians and their teeth?
Look for the Lucky Five kids for the day on the mantle.
What's wrong
tomorrow,
with you, Fisherman?
A couple of new kids will get a shot.
And now I got a picture of the moon, the half moon over the Calgary sky.
Very nice.
A lot of interesting, like, animalistic jungle music throughout this whole production.
Canadians are animals.
And now Brett reflects on kind of the love-hate he had with his dad, where he feared him and was afraid to get the shit kicked out of him, but, you know, respected him. The dungeon was, interesting, you know. Whenever you heard about it, I definitely didn't picture what it ended up being.
I did not picture this, that's true.
You know.
I wonder how often they, like, change the mat or whatever, you know?
Probably not often.
Yeah.
I'm guessing not often. I did enjoy the match they had there, and we'll get to that eventually in our review, Scott. They would have on pay-per-view a match in the
an
dungeon.
Actual match.
Yeah.
Indeed they would. Indeed they would. Yes.
Cool little touch.
Yes.
Interesting enough, it was after all this fiasco. You'd think it would have been before, you know?
I know. They never did anything in its zenith, the Hart Foundation zenith, or even Brett's career, where they would had somebody in there. Oh, there's Stu sitting on his...
Everyone's looking very pensive, sitting in the shadows.
Right. Well, it is wrestling with shadows. Do you think they even told Stu they were filming and said to sit there and look? You think this is just like he didn't
hear
them?
Behind like they're hiding behind dressers and. Yes.
What's that weird box that guy had his shoulder?
It's bigger than my TV.
Now the moon's coming out. Now Stu's gonna turn into a werewolf.
Right.
Come here, Helen. What the?
This is creepy as hell.
What in God's
name? I don't know if he actually has this in his house. He seems very smug about it, too. Like, everyone should have this. Like,
I thought that was the 13th kid.
He's like, yeah, you don't have one of these things in your house? I mean, did they just bring it in for the shoot? So they could, Brett, we have this great idea for a scene where you're like, I'd rather be this guy than have to spend any time with my dad.
Oh,
all right,
God.
I had to skip over the commercial bump, so now I got a picture of him as a kid.
Yep, yeah,
a little bit really past that, yeah.
Hair. So Brett really never had great hair in his
life. No.
No.
Let me know when you get to the Stu Hart refereeing or beating some guy up in the ring.
Yeah, that's where we are.
Okay.
Yep, that we just came up to it, so
okay. There
we go. Stu's roughing up hey, Big Daddy Stinky.
This probably had to be...
79, 80,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, right around then. Right when Brett broke in. Cool footage. I mean, pretty good quality for...
Yeah, considering, right?
Yeah. Stu is pretty gross looking in these brown tights and nothing else.
Well, he is incredibly rotund. Wow.
Now talk about the transition to the WWF and how Stampede was bought out and all that went on and made his way over to the land of McMahon.
That's right. New York.
Yes, New York.
Or New York.
And, of course, he took the British Bulldogs along with him and eventually the Anvil. But the death of Stampede lasted very brief.
Damn dog.
Is he going to try and catch the dog? I don't get it.
He's going to try to put the dog in an arm bar? Oh, my. I love that. Do you think they were, like, mocking Stu when they were doing this?
I felt bad, you know?
Oh, my God. Wow. Dumb bastard.
I mean, it's good insight into Brett, you know, and kind of sees what makes him tick. But, yeah, part of it's sad and part of it's funny. I wish we saw more Brockus.
Yeah.
Yes. Stu would live another, 15 years, right? 2003, I think, Stu passed
away. 15 years? Right. This is 1997.
Yeah, 97. I'm sorry, 6 years. Oh. 6 years.
Is that how you count your age?
Well, you didn't know, but I was on the I was in the arm bar, so I had a little blood loss.
Andy, we were reviewing Survivor Series yesterday. We came across an interesting faction that formed in ECW around this time. Consisted of Doug Furness and Phil LaFon, and then Brockus and Draws. So a lot of Adam Murray in the mix.
Oh, yeah, I listened to that one.
Okay.
We were saying how long the Dunkin' Donuts latte receipts were.
Yes. this is a good look.
Yeah, I don't think we need to see Brett in his morning wood here.
You're going to see Sonny running across the back of the back.
Jean shorts and nothing else?
Are they jean shorts?
I don't know. I couldn't tell.
I hope they are. I mean, they would stay consistent with this character. Now there's some chick in the pool. Oh, it's Brett.
Yeah. Who's that fine-looking woman?
Yeah, with that long, sexy hair.
With that thinning, stringy hair.
Vince with his classic camel hair coat.
With that booty. Handle yourself, Brett.
Right now, Brett's talking about the contract.
Right, unsure what to do, if he should go back and sign that 10-year deal that Vince is offering, or if he should go to WCW for the big money, and he's really...
Who decided he had to be in a pool to talk about this?
Yeah, so it's a lot of weird directorial decisions in this.
So he's swimming. Oh, you having a good swim? Yeah. So what are you going to do about your future? Yeah. Well, let me tell
you. Do you think he would have been better off if he just didn't go back in the long run, or do you think he made the right decision?
Well,
All right, someone's got their TV way too loud. Right. All right.
What, is Nitro invading the place to be?
I guess so, yeah.
Are you talking about, like, if he didn't come back at all in 96?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if he didn't, then things would have probably not been as... I don't think...
He probably would have came back.
A lot differently. And he would have come back in 2000.
Yeah, something like
that. I bet
you
would have come back before WCW went under. I bet you would have come back in, like, 99.
Yeah.
The ultimate question there is, what would the future of Stone Cold been? Because Brett
a lot would have changed, for sure.
Yeah, there would have been a lot of differences. I found it creepy that when parents dressed like five-year-old kids like Sean.
Yes, I was just thinking that.
It just didn't seem very very healthy.
All right. So, and he's talking about, of course, Ted Turner and WCW has offered him big money, and he's just not sure, right now just which way to go. He's torn between his loyalty and the cash.
Now, in the long run, I mean, it all depends on what his fiscal situation was, if he's talking about money, because in the long run, he would have made out pretty well. I don't think WWF would have gone under. I don't think that was anybody's thought, but...
And we're getting footage from that Raw 96 where he came out, and they played it up like he was deciding live on TV. Of course, saying he owes it to the fans, doesn't owe it to leave to WCW and announce. Obviously, they knew he was coming back because they wouldn't have allowed him live on Raw to say he's going to WCW.
It's like, all right, yeah. You son of a bitch.
We get some clips again of how Bret Hart was more than just a wrestling star, kind of an icon. He is, on The Simpsons and watching with his kids and all this stuff. And
well, I've seen him do his laundry, so I think we're we're different again.
So you didn't see the Simpsons clip?
No.
And now you're not seeing him with Julie cooking a turkey?
Nope.
I wonder if they cut it because of the Simpsons thing.
Maybe, actually.
Oh, yeah, now I'm up to the laundry thing. Yeah, it was a clip of him on when he was on The Simpsons as Bret Hart. Are you on him and Blade get out of the truck yet?
Yes.
Yeah, he's walking in now.
Okay.
So now we're back to the day of Stampede.
Yep.
So... we'll mark that by the really hideous hat. When he's wearing that, we all know what the paper
is. It's Carl DeMarco, of course, the Canadian liaison to the WWE.
With his slacks and sneakers.
Slacks, huh?
Slacks. he called him Slack because he didn't do anything plural.
Yes.
Like Shawn Michael.
I always enjoy this little clip here of Vince with the kids talking to Blade and being all cordial and nice.
You're going to get big, huh? That's gonna screw you. Wow, Vince, that is the biggest jacket I think he
has. Right? You could tell he's like, maybe it was like a goal for him. He's like, I'm gonna wear the super big jacket and eventually build myself into it.
Carl DeMarco wouldn't have fit in it, for God's sakes. He's a house. No.
DeMarco's got a LaRue's jacket on.
Yes.
That's quite the hair Carl DeMarco has on.
Yes. Well, speaking of hair, at least it's combed this time.
Yeah, right. Oh, you're mushing up my hair.
Oh, Henry Godwin there in the background. There's Keith. There's Bruce looking for a job.
Yeah, right.
Let's go. Come on.
Where's Vince?
Bruce.
He promised me a job. Come on, guys. Let's talk about Pat Patterson's slicks.
No, there's Smith.
Yeah, that's Smith. Looking like John. I guess John Lennon. What's the Beatle that he looks like there?
Yeah, looks like Data there. From Star Trek to me.
You look like Ringo.
Ringo, that's what I meant to say.
There's Stone Cold in the background that just walked by. Look, don't get Vince pissed off. You're not getting a job.
Take your sunglasses off, you freaking moron.
Promise me a job.
So Vince says I'm going to be the lead booker and get the IC title shot next week. That's what he promised me. I swear.
I swear.
They're planning some spots in the match right now for the Canadian Stampede match. The whole thing where Austin goes and Bruce throws a drink and he thinks it's Stu's drink and he beats up Stu and kind of setting up.
Oh, my God. If you've lived in this state your whole life, if you've lived in Calgary, doesn't anyone realize at this point you don't spell Brett with two T's?
It's amazing how often that mistake was made.
Oh, my God. But in Canada? I mean, good God.
More Vince Russo here going over things in the back. And it's amazing they gave this level of access. I mean, Beyond the Mat had a lot of access, but not really like the booking and the backstage and the planning as much as this is getting.
That's true, especially for that time.
Right, and Beyond the Mat was a little bit later, so maybe it's a little more understandable, but it's kind of odd that they were...
I mean, is there anything before this that had that kind of like...
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
And don't forget, this is before SummerSlam when they had you know, to say that it was entertainment.
Right.
So it was even before that.
Yeah, this is weird they let this guy back there. I mean, I'm guessing they thought it was going to be nothing more than like a local, you know, Canadian documentary that probably wasn't going to get much exposure. So maybe that's why they didn't really care. So just more shots from, you know, a heavy part of this so far has been Canadian Stampede. And what's your thoughts so far, Andrew? You're enjoying it? You think it's a good look? Do you think it's kind of stagnant, or the movie itself?
Yeah, it's got some weird qualities to it, like we were talking about with the weird directorial decisions. But I think, you know, like you said, just kind of like seeing all this backstage stuff is really interesting. I think this is a winner overall so far.
Mm. Scott?
It definitely has stood the test of time. I mean, I don't think age has served it poorly. I think it doesn't look... I don't feel it's dated, believe it or not. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think it still serves now.
It's a tale as old as time.
See, Bruce is telling Stu now, you think I look good there? You think Vince will hire me? I think I took those punches.
He always had to get involved. He always had to get his stupid face in there. Here he goes with a drink. Well, that was all planned. I mean, we saw it pre-match. And then he goes after Stu.
Yeah, he's in.
Who's this guy?
And then Stu looked at Bruce and said, Jesus, he's tougher than you.
I like how Bruce and Smith
fell over.
I like how they had to go out there. And right here, he like has to get these shots in. It's like, get out of here, you friggin' maggot.
Clown. Oh, and here is, of course, the conclusion of that match. After both of them left the match at one point, both Austin and Owen, I find it funny that Owen had to cheat in Calgary.
Yeah, well, it's kind of
extra
justice.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, there's the peak of the Harford Nation here.
Yes, absolutely. Win the match. Diana looking her best. Bulldog looking his juiced.
I miss the cameraman wearing the WWF jumpsuit. I'd like to see that come back, the navy blue jumpsuit.
Austin getting his neck iced, and that's before SummerSlam.
Yes.
Interesting.
Although, no, you know, I think we've jumped the SummerSlam. Because he had the belt. Jimmy Corderas is walking
with
the belt.
I just realized that. Yeah, he's holding the belt. I just realized that.
Like I said, they kind of wonky with the time frames on this thing. They kind of jump around through it. Pretty much anything you see here is sometime between when he came back in 96 and Montreal. They kind of bounce around. Now Brett riding in the car with his son. Explaining what a sternum is. So he says, I don't know if you have one. I'm pretty sure everyone has one from birth. I don't know.
Brett, the master of taking sternum shots.
Yes. Well, this one's nasty here against Dino Bravo. And Dino sends him flying into the guardrail, and Brett just smashes his sternum.
And then, of course, Brett always be running straight ahead into the turnbuckle spots, too. Always wrecked his chest as well. Wow, what do you think that is? 90? 91?
I think it was 90.
Had to have been 90.
Might have been late 89, early 90.
Yeah, I would say I have a feeling it's 89 too. That looks like it's at the Forum in Montreal, the Molson Sign.
Yeah, so Brett talks about the story here, how he didn't want to lose to Bravo. He's still a stubborn Mark man. What is that security guy wearing on his head, by the way? Did you see that hat? I don't know if you caught it on the corner of your eye.
No, I didn't.
It's quite the getup he had on. And Brett's kind of talking like this is all legit here, how Dino just picked him up and threw him back in the ring, and he refused to lose. And you see the hat now? See them in the back?
Oh, what is that? What is he, a cop?
Yeah, I don't know.
A bus driver?
Ah, friggin' French Canadians.
Wow. Frenchie Martin's cousin, that's who that is. Oh, he owns those hats.
I'm going to be started. And Brett got stretched out, and of course he goes on to say about how, you know, he had to basically rush himself back and or else he wasn't going to get paid. It might have been one of his few legit injuries until that 97 run with the knee. I mean, he didn't have much, you know, in between then. And just for those aficionados that must know, that was another break right there.
He's like, I'm going to break your neck. See what I see? See right there? Grandpa did that to me. I broke his neck.
Do you think Brett ever drove? I feel like we always see him in the back of these cars.
Yeah, he's got a driver.
Made it have
his license. Brockus. Brockus the chauffeur.
Are you guys on Brett massaging his neck now?
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Yes. Can this scene end? Now, see, what Grandpa did was he took his hand right here and snap! Oh, sorry about that.
And now we jump to Survivor Series 96.
Of course, his big return match.
Yes.
Took on Steve Austin, one of the greatest matches of all time.
Yes.
Which we reviewed, of course, here. Here
Jason
the place
Greenhouse joined us for that one.
Yes, that is correct. And it is, of course, also on our message board, bigelow34.proboards.com.
And as we're getting clips of this, any thoughts on Matt Rotella's strip club habits from you? You've witnessed them many times.
I think your description was very good.
Okay. Yes. Accurate.
Very accurate, yes.
There's Mankind. Mick Foley, of course.
Apparently he's the Hannibal Lecter of wrestling. I like Brett's descriptions of these wrestlers. The homophobic gay button pusher, the Hannibal Lecter. And I remember Mankind eating people. I definitely don't remember that.
Is that the place to be contributor Kevin Kelly? I believe that is.
Yeah, he is. Hiding in the bowels there.
Yeah. Paul Bearer, who I saw on Saturday, looking bigger jowls than ever.
I think a whole point of this, again, was to show the dichotomy of the characters in the real life people, you know, to kind of humanize Mick Foley there. And I feel like I should be firing up your music here, Scott, as your boy enters.
Oh, there he is. Hunter Hurst, Helmsley, taking on Shamrock. I wonder if Brett didn't have a problem with him early on.
No, I'm pretty sure he didn't like him. As soon as he aligned with Sean, I'm pretty much all through 97, he's made it clear that he wasn't a big fan of him or Sean. And you know, part of that would come in play with Rocky Maivia, where Brett felt they were holding him back, and he tried to kind of get in Rocky's corner to push him as well.
And of course, there is the crown jewel of 1997 right there, Stone Cold Steve Austin. I wonder how different the fall would have been had he not gotten hurt. You know, like if he was in matches, I wonder how different the booking would have been for some of those, you know, Ground Zero, Bad Blood.
Yeah, it probably would have been a couple of matches with Owen, I'm guessing, in there somewhere. Or
yeah,
maybe a tag title match with Dude against Owen and Bulldog or something like that. So, yeah, Brett's just really going over his feud with Austin and how Austin was this evil son of a bitch and the crowd was behind him and they were kind of turning on Brett, who felt like he was still portraying the good guy. Kind of talk about the change in the attitude of just wrestling and fans in general. You think it was a positive or negative, Andy?
Which?
Just like the fans turning and rallying behind the bad guy, son of a bitch, Steve Austin, and turning on the, you know, hero, Bret Hart.
I think it's positive. I enjoy it. I mean, it's hard to say there's any kind of negative when, you know, we had, you know, Austin's whole career, I think, you know, kind of outweighs any negative part of it. But
I guess so. I guess you're right. So Brett's talking now about how they want him to turn heel, and he's not really sure If he should, now he's making fun of the shirt he's wearing on, saying it's a girly shirt. God, Julie is just a disaster. But yeah, he's talking about how if you know if he, huh?
No, I was gonna say. I mean, I agree. I mean, you know, for a superstar champion like Bret Hart to find someone that looks like her, God, well, not much pick of the litter in Calgary, huh?
Good I guess God. Not. Well, actually, no, they show a picture, and there's some pictures in the book. She was actually really good looking. I think just years of him being away on the road and her probably raising the kids and
made her look like Ellie.
Yeah, well, I think she just let herself go. I mean, honestly, yeah. If you need to hear the God's honest truth about it. Yeah, and here's footage of him turning heel and fighting here at WrestleMania 13. So.
Well, we've talked about it extensively, and we'll get more into it when we do our end of year. The fan thinking had just changed. You know, they were just looking for something fresh. I mean, 96 was okay, but still fairly stale. Hey, there's a guy, JR, with the 96 World Champions Yankee hat right there. The white hat from back in the day.
I'm kind of sad that the Kentucky Yankee thing could probably gonna end this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
First time ever.
But yeah, I mean, it's just a change, and we've documented this a lot, JR, throughout these pay-per-view our vaults. That it's just the fans are just it was just a change of pace now, a change of attitude, and
And I like how Brett too is explaining, like, you know, I didn't change my true fans; I'm still the same to them. It's these other fans that turned on me, and that was really the whole crux of the turn, the whole storyline. Of course, here's the monumental street fight we reviewed, the April 21st, 97 Raw. Any memories of this? Do you remember? This led to the ambulance and all that stuff.
Definitely remember the ambulance call, though.
Brett just, you know, basically just retelling the story, the whole angle to us as he still being driven around in the car. LaRue's bang bus. Now, tell me, Brett, about the week of April 13th, 1997, as we pick up this whore on the street.
Yeah. Rockus, take a left. We're going to Dunkin'. We're going to Tim Hortons.
Drive around this neighborhood for a while, and we'll talk and listen to music and try and be funny.
I haven't seen any houses. It's like in a swamp. Like, I haven't seen one building.
Here we go. Here's Austin hanging Tracy out of the window as he beats up Bret Hart.
Oh, that's so great.
Oh, my God. One of those awesome Raw moments of 97. Tremendous.
This kid's always friggin' sleeping. What's he doing? Wake up. It's philosophy.
Well, they've been driving around for like 4 hours.
Though. Right, I know. What the hell? Driving endlessly through Calgary. And then now just taking us through. We're alternating Brett narrating in clips of just going through his whole heel turn with the whole Canada-U.S. stuff throughout.
Oh, my God. Another one that spells it wrong. God.
It's chronic. It honestly, throughout his whole career. Well, not as bad as that. The Fart Foundation. That's a very original.
Yes.
I know what we're going to do. Instead of Heart Foundation, we're going to say the Fart Foundation.
That'll get him.
Brett the Hitman Clark.
Yes.
Hey, hey.
Hey, they got it right.
Canada's that way.
Oh. It's the opposite of Delaware.
Yes. Opposite of England, Delaware. That's correct. The old turtle soup, yes.
And he is, you know, he's telling how it is a kind of a unique first where they're trying to keep one fan base where he's a face, and basically the other fan base treats him like a heel. And it was unique, and it was great. It was the summer of these Raws alternating. 1 week you're in the U.S., 1 week you're in Canada. It was just such great programming each week.
It's great that it worked, too.
Yeah, it's amazing.
The fan bases went with it, you know what I mean?
You know you're in Canada, you start seeing these mullets breaking out and everything else.
Oh, yeah. And you see their Flames, Oilers, or Canucks jerseys.
That is a pretty great-looking jersey, I will say that.
No, it definitely was, yeah.
Wow.
You still have health care. Did you know that? There's no murder at all in Canada?
They don't care. Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
They got top-of-the-line gun control in Canada.
Oh, another one. My God.
They're policemen that ride horses are very strict with the controlling of the guns.
I didn't know it was a lane without racism, too. That's good enough.
Jean-Pierre Lafitte is going to pull you over for speeding.
Oh, there's definitely no racism in Canada. It's God's country.
I was going to say,
scum like the Patriot waving his flag. Oh, my Lord.
Whoa.
That's a great joke. Whoa. Okay, that check is wild. Wow. We need to stop aiming the camera into the crowd.
Yeah, really?
You don't see too many goth girls with a top hat on.
We need to see more of that, frankly.
Yes, we do. Make that a point to make that prevalent in the goth community. And it wasn't just like a top hat. It was like a, I don't know, AC/DC top hat.
But was Brett, I wonder if Brett was comfortable even doing that, though. You know?
What?
Like breaking up the...
Oh, I'm sure he was perfectly fine with it. It's J.R. Cena D'Amato with the Burger King crowd on.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God.
I think we have to bring those glasses back.
Right? He had them for like this one little year here.
Well, that was like the heel glasses because he wasn't giving away the...
Those are the ones he used to wear back in like 86, weren't they?
Yes.
Very similar to that, the round ones? Yep. I like Brett admits here that he felt bad saying he would stick the hose in Pittsburgh if he was giving the U.S. an enema. If I was giving PTB Nation the enema, I'd insert the hose into Austin Pfaff.
Mr. Pfaff. Oh, God. They must be on the highway because I haven't seen one building ever since. Every time they go to the shot of Brett talking.
Yeah, it's like, what the hell?
They're all trees.
Keep turning around and driving back down the same stretch of road.
Love Pillman's Anarchy t-shirt. He was just awesome. He always looked like he was ready to just kill somebody. He just had that look.
I'm hitting a break here, you guys, just so you know. Another commercial. Let me know when you got the American Rally here. Rat 95.9.
Yep, we're there.
Okay. You got this crazy-ass guy with the long hair.
Looking like Undertaker.
Yeah. This is the Rat. 95.9. The Rat.
Yeah.
Derek LeVue. 95.9. The Rat. Coming at you live. Oh, Lord. This guy looks straight out of Public Access here.
Look at that shirt in the back. Budweiser. Is that why? Because is that so
yeah,
they
the frogs.
Can actually pronounce it correctly?
Oh, no. It's the frogs. The Budweiser frogs.
Yeah.
How do you not remember this?
Hmm?
How do you not remember this?
The Budweiser frogs?
Yeah.
Yes, Scott.
What is that weird balloon in the back?
It's like a giant Undertaker.
Oh, now I see it. Okay. Why is he sitting down?
He's tired.
Is that the Undertaker?
He's sitting on a porta-john.
Is that the Undertaker blow-up thing that got stolen from that Chinese place that you guys used to go to near Andy's house? Or was that the Big Brett one that was near his house?
I don't know what any of that means. We are here. This is now SummerSlam 97. We're outside of the metal.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm thinking. Never mind. Whatever.
Okay.
Go eat some Chinese food. nice crowd here. Little, you know, the band here playing their little garbage cans or whatever.
I think they're playing the song from Cool Runnings. Jamaica got a bobsled team. How lit up is this guy?
I know.
The best people in the world, the Hot Foundation. Give me another natty light.
Sabu Simba's gonna come out and start saying something. Yeah, like my man Savio Vega
and Nicholas Turturro back in the house.
Who looks like he ate Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
Yes. Oh, I know it's coming. My favorite scene in this whole movie is coming in about 2 minutes. Not even 2 minutes. Like 45 seconds, maybe.
Oh. I had that.
Odd choice to have these. Hey, it's Ernest the Cat Miller.
It's a Cat Miller.
Odd choice to have the Caribbean Tin
yeah,
Can
I was
band here.
That fit in.
Doesn't fit at all, really.
It was kind of strange.
Jamaican me crazy.
There's some nipples on that guy.
Wow, like Antonio Cesaro. What is that?
What was he drinking? What kind of bit? I think it's a Lieutenant Dan, honestly.
Oh, boy.
There she is!
Oh, God!
Yes! Bret Hart saved her life. She was directionless before she saw Bret. And now she's finishing to get her degree.
Yeah, she sure looked like his wife.
She is straight out of Honey Boo Boo.
Oh my God. Is that what happened to Bertha Fay? Oh my God. And then I elbowed my husband.
I want to see the back of her shirt says D'Amato was here.
Loving LaRue.
Oh, computer graphics. I'm just trying to remember the degree. She's got her sunglasses on too, I just realized.
I know, she does.
That's right.
We should get her on the show. Want to see how she did in the computer graphics career. Maybe she can design us a new logo.
Yes.
And we're finally arriving here in the van.
Oh my God, after this, if they drove clear across Canada, they're in Newfoundland now.
Oh, he's behind the wheel.
Wow, Brock has got the day off. How about that? He gets to go listen to CDs.
Do you think he's really driving?
He's one of those like sceneries that move in the background.
Yeah.
He's talking about a relationship with somebody. I don't know if he's talking about his wife.
Yeah, I was trying to figure that out, but not enough context.
Right. We're officially now at the Meadowlands, even though we've seen this about 8 times so far in this movie. We are at SummerSlam 97. Brett, of course, is in the main event. A special referee.
It's me. Who's the showstopper?
Me.
Well, JR, there's the shotgun Saturday night apron.
Yes, and this is where Brett expresses his concern to Pat Patterson and his slacks, saying he's worried about, you know, Sean's turning heel now, and, you know, he's not going to be the top face anymore because Taker is and Austin is, and he's not going to be the top heel anymore because Sean is, and kind of worried about he's going to get lost in the kerfluffle here. JR always had the ugliest tuxedos.
Yeah, the bow tie vest combos were never stellar.
Sean and Brett talking backstage. Always interesting.
Well, you're just gonna pin.
They what?
It looked a little heated there.
It did. A little fired up. It's sad
Sean,
that.
Sean had not graduated to the bike shorts yet.
I'd say it's sad that this is the better of his referee outfits because it's not much to write home about.
This is the high point.
He's a marine pants. His boots are questionable.
Yes. Of course, here is The Undertaker. At the time, the World Wrestling Federation champion.
Yes, it amazes me still that they're just allowed to use all this footage and everything. Especially since this came out a year after Brett had left, you know? So I don't know if Vince tried to put a stop on this, like he did Beyond the Mat.
Oh, somewhere in that first row is Kyle Forchetti's head, somewhere in that section right there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a kid with a Rodney Hampton jersey on. Sweet God. Where's your Rodney Hampton jersey, Andy?
Sadly, I do not own one.
Oh.
My child didn't wear that.
After the fallout, all right, here we go. Paul Jay says the filmmakers had a contract with McMahon to provide not only stock footage but waivers for use of the names and likenesses. After the fallout from Montreal, McMahon feared he'd be portrayed in the film and refused both. Director goes on to state WCW contacted the filmmakers and not only offered to pay the lawsuit at a cost of $750,000, they also offered a pay-per-view deal for the film and long-term distribution on the Turner Network. Once McMahon became aware of this, they received the fax torn from Titan saying they'd honor the original contract.
Oh, shit!
It was a good chair shot.
Yeah.
He cracked him.
Paul Jay said they were told it would be a slam dunk case, but when asked about the film, they were told they'd most likely be in court for 3 to 4 years and there'd be no film even if they won. So they said, forget it, we'd rather make the film and drop the lawsuit. So, and Vince apparently used his reputation to kill some of the distribution deals. But it aired on A&E, I mean.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big coup. Actually, I remember when I started working with your company, Scott. Back in 2003, this was one of the first things I QC'd in my job as code specialist.
Ah, yes. Yep.
And I remember falling way behind because I actually sat there and watched the whole thing.
And watched it real time. Hey, you know what? At least it aired properly because you knew there wasn't anything wrong with it.
So oh, yeah. Actually, I think there was a hit. No, you know what's funny? I caught a hit that was like in the middle of the segment. They're like, wow, how did you catch that? They were like all impressed. I'm like, wow, I was watching the whole fucking movie.
Yeah. if you think I'm going to watch all the murders she wrote, you're out of your goddamn mind. So.
Yeah, now we are.
Who's this guy working out with, Brett? This guy looks familiar.
Well, take working out. I got footage of him in his underwear and a leather jacket taking promo pictures.
No, I missed that.
Okay, I can see why they cut that out.
What version do you have? Underwear and pictures?
It's like his like little short tights, and like like it's like promo shots from like the waist up. So it was like a leather jacket.
I can't even look at her. Oh God!
All right, so you're up to her. I gotta fast forward.
Now we got the video game.
I just got like a long thing of him working out here. Like really long. Oh Lord.
Playing PS1.
Did you do the Bills, Brett? All right. Are you on him with the controller?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And now Blade. And now him.
PS.
Now he's in the spa.
Okay. I think we're good.
Wow. She went from that to that.
Well, she's not looking so good in this black and white photo.
No, yeah, this is where things are starting to get haggard.
I'm looking forward to him being home and out on the road.
Wow.
Not many women can say they went from 120 pounds to 250 in the time I did.
She must be wearing makeup here, right?
Like, I don't think so.
This is as good as they can make it look.
Oh, Lord. I like the natural look.
You know, it's funny that, you know, most people would watch, let's say, WrestleMania 6 and be like, you know, I look like Sapphire, but I want to look like Elizabeth. She went from looking like Elizabeth to looking like Sapphire. So.
I'm pretty sure my grandmother has that suede outfit that she has on. She should take the Costanza playbook.
Yes.
Not wear suede or velvet. And now, of course, we'll talk about the birth of Degeneration X and the Attitude Era. Saying that Vince is desperate for ratings and desperate for money, so he's getting raunchy on us. Of course, some of the greatest early DX stuff. I know Andy and I were big fans of that. Wore that tape out.
Yeah, I know. You still have that?
Yes. I have the DVD too, but I also have the tape.
I have both the DVD and the tape too, yes. That was one of Sean's first real good shirts, and I feel like he barely ever wore it.
And not one of Sean's really good pants, the brown corduroys. Oh, no, he's got the tights on here. That is that other clip I think we had the brown corduroys on.
Brown corduroys.
I love the original incarnation of this group with Rick Rude.
Yeah. Very short-lived, right?
Yes, yep. The fallout of this, Rude left. And I'm sure deep down he wishes he'd have stayed. Did not follow his moral compass. So we're just getting a lot of stuff here of kind of showing the attitude of the newly formed DX and really just kind of crapping on Brett. We talked about this last night, how we felt Brett didn't really show the chops that you think he would show to kind of keep up, you know, with the Barbs. He kind of always seemed just behind.
He's probably a little lost at this point, right? This is kind of like new territory for him.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like he could do it. I don't know. He just always seems like...
Although you made a good point, too. We kind of knew he had a foot out the door.
Yeah, I think that's a part of it, too. I think he was just really fucked up.
Yes.
Sean mocking Brett.
Sean with the shoes and no socks was great.
And the Brett sunglasses wrestling with Blade around the ring. And I think it's really funny that Blade's favorite wrestler was always Shawn Michaels. That's kind of like this added layer that's like building underneath.
If this is the Raw from the Garden, of course we also did this show on on a podcast. Remember we were saying that Brett was like totally like not part of that Raw. It seemed like everything else was all about Stone Cold.
Well, and they say here, and we had talked about it because I think Graham has it listed that yes, that was when Vince broke the news to him. That he couldn't afford the contract. Oh, my Lord. Do we need to see Julie in this?
I know. This is unfair to her and unfair to us.
at least put the effort in. Like, all right, I'm going to wear this plaid blue shirt, these blue spandex tight booty shorts, and this backwards hat. No makeup. Honestly, Brett is more attractive than her right now.
Yeah.
So is Brockus, for that matter.
I think Helen is more attractive than her.
I was going to say Ellie, but I don't think we should go that far.
No.
No. Stu is better looking than her. Yeah, the 20-year deal. Obviously, there was also a lot of stuff involved there, including, like, I don't want to say ownership, but, you know,
it's kind of looks like a corpse there. Booking. It's kind of scary. Sorry.
Yeah.
Formaldehyde pumping in him.
It does. Jeez.
The hair looks fake, too. Well, wait a minute. It was. Never mind. The of course, the big, you know, he wasn't just getting wrestling money. Obviously, he was planned in the future to either book or own a piece of it, kind of like the old Vince Sr. deal with Arnie Skolin and Gorilla, probably something like that. It wasn't all obviously being a 20-year deal. It wasn't all.
Some families into plaid shirts that are not buttoned all the way.
Yes.
Is this a Canadian thing?
That's what happens when you live in the woods. So he wrote it in this notebook, and now he's erasing it.
I'd like to see one Canadian tuxedo in this. We haven't seen one yet. Julie's kind of close here.
Do you have to have the denim jacket, too? Is that the tuxedo?
Yeah, the jacket, the shirt, and the jeans.
Dakota's a very big moment there. Brett, for the first time, actually asks the camera be turned off.
This should have done the fake Assumption TV, like I used to do. Say yes and then let it run anyway. Just turn the light off.
Yes, because you had an incredible moral compass during those shows.
Anything for a laugh.
Yeah, the last
make him laugh, make him laugh, make him laugh.
Yeah, the last person to add in a serious discussion in the kitchen was Chrisley Burr. Yeah, that would add a lot. So
Steve Piscatello inside the steel cage.
Chrisley Burr would be like, so who's this tag team partner of yours? Pointing to his wife.
It's pretty cool that Brett had a ring in his house.
This, of course, was they're doing the slow motion of the that Raw the night after Final Four when...
Yeah.
Or was it 2 weeks after Final Four?
Yeah, it was a couple weeks after. A
couple weeks after Final Four. It was right before WrestleMania.
When, it actually was the week before Mania. It was that Monday.
Right before Mania, yep.
We shoved Vince down. Yep. It's goddamn bullshit.
Yes, USA was not happy.
Screwed by Bret Hart. Tony Chimmel. There's Jason D'Amato again in the background.
I must say... when Vince changed characters, he did a complete 180 with his wardrobe.
Mm.
He was the worst babyface dressed.
Right, he was like the guy, like the dad trying to be hip, you know?
Yes, yeah. Look at my cool jacket.
I should probably watch out. It's going to be me in like 4 years.
Look at this cool windbreaker I have. Oh, more plaid.
That's all he owns.
It's like the Christmas shirt.
Who the fuck paints a door in the trim pink in this room?
He does, obviously. Kind of fits.
Unless it was like his daughter's bedroom and they converted it into this office.
He's faxing me the...
I'm going to get a fax machine. That'd be cool. It's kind of a status thing just to have one, you know?
Yes.
But like, yeah, just fax me that offer.
I am available by fax.
And now it's made official. He faxed in his resignation, and he is saying, you know, only a few more weeks, and he is done. It's the company he grew up with. In his appearance, of course, big-time appearance with Michael Landsberg on Off the Record, or On the Record, whatever it is. That is a hell of a sweater.
It's a hell of a set. It's like a...
Yeah, like MTV.
It's like a comedy club or something.
And, hey, who's in the ring? All right, there he is.
So sincere. And yeah, Landsberg just kind of setting the stage, talking about how they're going around here. And Brett started really making the rounds around this point. And I think it kind of leaked on that show that he was maybe leaving, I believe.
That looks like Lance Wright.
I mean, he wasn't going to last anyway. He's going on these shows saying, you know, Dirty F's not something I'd show my children. It's not presentable for them. I mean, just... And Vince, one of his infamous speeches.
Yeah, I forgot all about this one.
You're tired of having your intelligence insulted. Good guys versus bad guys.
Now we're going to give you everything.
Now we're going to give you crap versus crap. Salesman's here. They keep just saying OTR. I cannot remember if it's on or off the record. Hey, Meltzer and his mullet.
Of course. When would there not be a Meltzer moment?
Oh, I thought that's Freddie Prinze for a minute. Where's Simon Fraser University?
It's in Toronto, I think.
It's where Jordan Ottawa. Duncan went.
Yes. That's where Andre the Giant went.
It's the Melts.
Now, the mullet was not nearly as bad as it was in, like, 90.
No,
the
he was on Donahue.
Hey, look, Moadib.
I bet he got hurt in that match.
Probably did. Probably pulled or pulled something.
There's a boy, Sheldon Goldberg, I believe.
Sheldon Goldberg, yep.
Oh, no.
Nope, Henry Jenkins.
What is this guy from OIT talking about?
Talk about the psychology behind Bret Hart. I like how Meltzer just... This guy's like an MIT professor. Meltzer just completely like dissed him and dismissed anything he was saying. He's like, fuck you. Write a wrestling newsletter once a week, buddy. Then we'll fucking talk.
Yeah, excuse me. I have... Yeah, exactly. I do 4 pages.
By the way, this is my official moment to plug the fake Dave Meltzer Twitter account for anyone who's on Twitter and not... It's not Dave Meltzer, and it is fantastic. I highly recommend it. It is beyond fantastic.
Detroit, Michigan, for looks like a little house show action.
Here's a little treat for you. This is from 18 minutes ago, not Dave Meltzer. BG James and Scott Armstrong have been given more responsibility backstage in WWE. Armstrong's helping with promos, and BG is passing out drugs.
I think we should do a not Dave Meltzer moment of the show.
Yes, we're going to have to from now on. I will read the most recent one every time.
Yeah.
AJ Lee's been kissing Stephanie McMahon's ass in recent interviews. This is a tactic to stay as a shitty GM on Raw.
I love that dude with the Jägermeister t-shirt. Quite awesome, Andy, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So now this is one of his final house show appearances here, I believe, or the final one, maybe.
Yeah. Well, we should take a look and go to historywwe.com. Who's that guy? Looks like
Oh my lord. No t-shirt on and a bandana or a headband. That was creepy. Kind of had like Jeff's Machado's haircut there.
Yeah, honky.
What wow. What kind of code is that?
At this point, they already cut honky loose.
I don't know. Oh my, it's transvestite, Carl DeMarco.
That is true. Like the worst hair ever.
It's everything. He looks like Francis Buxton from Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Exactly right.
Nobody rocked the fanny pack better than British Bulldog.
No, and no one rocked being portly than the Honky Tonk Man. The Porky Tonk Man.
I was gonna say no one rocked portly like Carl DeMarco.
DeMarco is just freaky looking man.
DeMarco.
Some ugly pieces of meat in this show.
Yeah, there is. The butcher shop is not impressive tonight.
Brett's
talking. They look like they're sitting in a hearse.
Yeah. Well, Brett's talking about. Brett's talking about how Sean, said let's really go at it. And why is he gonna roll a duct tape between his legs? They're talking about really going at it, and like Sean has said, lay into each other, and then he was basically saying we did, and Sean got all pissy about it. Carl DeMarco is just one ugly person.
Yes, he is. All right, let's see. In fact, that was the night before.
We should have done a plaid shirt count, by the way. Just like we did the fanny pack count beyond the mat.
Yeah.
This is at least like the 6th different one that he's out on.
That was actually the night before. November 8th, 1997, Cobo Arena in Detroit, Michigan.
Did Andre the Giant and Ultimate Warrior wrestle? Was Jordan Duncan there?
Yes. Yeah. They defeated D'Lo Brown, and Baron Mikhail Scicluna.
Interesting.
Undertaker, Steve, here's the card for that show, according to Graham Cawthon at thehistoryofwwe.com. D'Lo Brown and Kama defeated the Headbangers.
You can afford a new teapot?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, you can afford a new wife, too.
Scott, you may have to hold off on reading this card. I think we're hitting the climax of this movie here. Just as you're hitting your climax over Julie Hart.
God. What is that?
I also like the rarely seen yellow and purple plaid.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, God. What is this? It looks like Laker colors.
Could that zipper be any lower on Julie's sweater? And now this is Brett. They were talking about in the limo and in general, basically, can you trust? Are they going to screw you? And, Brett saying, no, Earl's the ref. He won't screw me. I'll be okay. And basically, Brett was just acting very kind of naive throughout this whole thing.
Mm. Oh, we had mentioned that on Monday night during the Survivor Series podcast with Cal for Shitty.
I think he wanted to just believe that this couldn't happen, you know?
Right.
He's trying to get Stu's advice here.
That would go to Vince and I would rip his lungs out, if you ask me.
Stu's asking why Vince is so anxious to get rid of Brett. Andy, why don't you chime in quickly? What's your thoughts? Do you think Brett should have dropped the belt?
Yeah, I think so. I get that he has this old school pride thing, but I mean...
But wouldn't he have been more prideful to lose it, you know?
You mean, would it be more in the tradition of the...
Old school.
Yeah.
To drop the belt.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, I feel like he had, like, he kind of like took a stand on Sean, and he felt like he couldn't back down from it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's what I mean by the whole pride thing. Like, okay, he felt like, you know, this is what defines him as a man kind of thing, which is stupid when in retrospect, but I'm sure at the time it was hard for him to let it go.
I see it. Do you think Vince was justified in doing what he did?
Yeah, I think, like you guys said, he was kind of backed into a corner by both sides, and he did what he felt he had to do, and I can't totally blame him for it, although it was pretty shitty.
It's just an amazing, like, swirl and tornado of events that led to this. Like, any little thing could have changed so much, you know?
It's so amazing that it could come to that in a, you know, a sport where, you know, the outcomes are predetermined, like they said.
Yeah, it's amazing. Fans still backing Brett, of course. I have the latest from Not Dave Meltzer. Strong rumors that Batista may return at the Royal Rumble. That is, if he can clear his busy schedule of making shitty movies and banging skanks.
Okay, while he's walking, we just saw this already earlier. The rest of that card at Kobo Arena, Ahmed defeated Rocky Maivia. The Legion of Doom defeated the Godwins. Ken Shamrock defeated Miguel Perez. Vader defeated Farouk via DQ. And then that main event match we saw earlier, Undertaker, Steve Austin, and Mankind defeated Bret Hart, Davey Boy Smith, and Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Hmm. And that was definitely the night before.
Brett is kind of talking about his plan here, saying, can he, you know, make it to the next few weeks and drop the belt the next pay-per-view, and just kind of going over all those options. Basically saying he can't lose to Sean in Montreal. It'd be like putting a bullet in his character if he did that. And a lot of drama.
Yeah, we're getting down to crunch time now. Here we are.
3 hours before the match. It'd be cool if little Kyle Farchetti was seen eavesdropping in the room. This is all
a little awkward.
Yeah. Well,
yes, quite.
I'm way hotter and younger than you, and you know. Everyone saying goodbye to Julie, and that's Jay Mariotti.
Jay Mariotti. There we go. The DOA throwing the kids around. That is probably Dave Hebner, Earl's brother. Selling merchandise outside. Nope, that's Mosh right there.
Yes,
right?
Thank you.
That's Mosh.
And just more, basically this, like I said, her saying bye to everyone that they've been family with for so many years. We're just friends, me and Sonny. Just friends.
Yeah.
Nothing more. And she's becoming more than friends with Blade right now.
Shamrock's skulking in the background.
You think they were just like, who let this hose be? Oh, Mrs. Hart. Hi. Although I guess she probably mixes well for another Canadian ring rats. Probably messes right in.
It's kind of weird that they're stalking the bathroom there.
All right. Trying to find Blade hiding out. I believe.
There he is.
I don't want to leave. WCW sucks.
I don't like those southern guys. Hulk who?
I mean, it just kind of sucks. Like, you grow up all these years just getting to run around the backstage of these arenas and knowing all these guys, and now it's like getting moved to a whole new school. Mm. Speaking of school, I don't know if you ever attended this kid. He used to be at every event.
Yes.
Were the Hearts completely homeschooled? I guess it's possible. It's Vince again. Now this is where things get really awkward, where they're just kind of being cordial and talking, and Vince knows what's about to happen.
Later.
If it's, I don't know if there's any room we can go find. We'll talk after.
A wire.
Wow.
I'm surprised they didn't get the movie stopped like just on this account that Brett's like wiretapped. like
Vince's
the
office. Vince's office is next to the ladies' dressing room.
Yeah, I was just thinking about
and, Caligula. Apparently, is, yes. Caligula apparently is running Vince's office. Salvia's everywhere.
Yeah,
it's quite the sweatpants.
Are those Zubas?
No, I don't think so. Look at the straight up sweatpants. Oh, Lord, Miguel Perez. Put a shirt on.
You got hiding in there, huh?
Why was he even in his tights? He didn't wrestle at that show. Oh, go away, Carl DeMarco. Tiger Ali Singh. Some dude with a Halliburton. I'm surprised that the wiring or the cameras didn't catch Vince at any point, like, scheming with anyone. Like, they must have really had tight security around. I wonder how many times he thought it said as the show was going on. Like, should I call it audible, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
What were his options at this point? Was this absolutely the last Brett Slash appearance?
No, he was under contract for, like, another month, I think.
Yeah, okay.
I'm surprised they, like, pretty prescient too of the documentary guys to focus on Earl so much, you know. No, please, no, don't show me in the dressing room. What are the odds that they edited? They definitely edited that in, right? There's no way that the picture.
That was all added.
There's no way the picture looked that good on that TV, and that was also the same shot we saw him before. I don't know. Commercial break there for dramatic pauses, so you all know. And I'm now seeing Julie here with a kid.
Yep.
Okay. With the edited in raw open, apparently, for Survivor Series. Scott still with us? Did he fall asleep?
No, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. Just letting you guys go for a little bit.
Thanks.
Hey, anytime. There is Sean.
Was that just a weird cut there?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, either he morphed to 20 feet in 5 seconds.
That's a great picture.
That's an even better picture. I love Rude there. I think Rude that beard. Steve Lombardi. That picture.
Am I ahead of you guys right now? I have the Hart Foundation walking backstage.
That's what I see, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we're even.
Okay.
There's your jumpsuit.
Yeah, they got to bring those back. That'd be awesome. Jumpsuit's an interesting choice for a cameraman. I don't really see why they would need to wear a jumpsuit, but And now we're just getting the dramatic, more dramatic music as we're setting up the match between Brett and Sean, of course, in Montreal. It's crazy that, I mean, of all the years they picked to do a documentary on this guy, who would have thought? I mean, just the dumb luck to fall into this is amazing.
S316, it's very original.
Yes.
They don't get in the ring. Incidentally, we mentioned this in the podcast the other day, that the other night, that they don't get in the ring for about 11 minutes.
Pretty crazy that Vince is at ringside the whole time, you know? A lot of slacks at ringside.
Yes, quite a bit of slacks.
Andy, what is this rank on the West Warwick screw job scale? Worse, better?
Are you asking me? I think this is less of a bad screw job because there are fewer people in on it.
Okay. And there was no 11-year-old girl cackling in the background.
No.
And that was a subtle tease. It's coming up on November 11th. It's a very special episode of the Place to Be podcast.
By the way, no one in Montreal had Elizabeth Madison disease or
No one did. I never heard of that. You guys will learn all about the Westwork screw job.
Yes, and much more. Plus, I don't think this ring is built as sturdy as the one at Lakeside Arena or whatever it was called.
So Brett's talking about how the match was ended a big schmoz. And basically, they're overlaying his talk with Vince before, again, like kind of the Canadian Stampede. And Brett said it was supposed to end in a schmoz, and the Harts all ran in. And, of course, they were never given their cue backstage, so they never hit the ring. Sean puts the sharpshooter on. Earl calls for the bell at the behest of Mr. McMahon. And that is all she wrote.
It's a pretty good reaction from the crowd where everyone jumps up and then just looks confused.
Right. Like, wait a minute.
Please, no, I didn't hear the bell.
I mean, watching at this point, you weren't... To me, nothing weird completely triggered until the show quickly went off the air after Sean looked confused and ran to the back. Like, the finish seemed and like all this here with Brett.
Yeah, the way he just pops up.
Yeah. Like, to me, that's where things kind of looked weird. Brett, of course, hawks the big loogie in Vince's face. Good for him being able to get one out that big, you know?
I know, right?
This is my jumpsuit. You can't have it.
Wow. Is that a cop or something? Was that a security guard? Big outfit there.
Some great acting by Triple H and Brett here. I mean, Sean.
Yeah, oh yeah, they definitely, yeah. I mean, Brett's that happy. Brett looking sullen in the ring, like many others.
Now, do they have any reactions from the backstage here?
Yes, yeah, we go backstage. Yep.
We do go backstage, yeah. It gets a little crazy.
And again, we're getting the overlay of his conversation with Vince saying he doesn't have to beat Sean. We can do a schmoz and he'll drop the title tomorrow on Raw or he'll come out and forfeit it. And Vince was just hell-bent on having Sean be the one that took the belt. He didn't want to forfeit it. He didn't want anything else going on.
Well, we talked about of our opinions on this. I'm not going to...
Jeez.
Oh, God. It's like Vince DeMarco without his hair. Yes. Or Carl DeMarco.
And here's
Vince is his brother.
Here's Brett Vince destroying DeMarco. All the TVs and everything else.
I feel like that's a weird reaction from him.
To just start breaking shit?
Yeah, I mean... Like, it's almost like he's playing to the crowd still when, you know, everything's just gone completely right off rails. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, he just figured he'd cost him some money. I think that was...
I guess, yeah. Mine.
But, I mean, you know, he probably said, well, it's like he expected the worst, but didn't really expect it to happen.
All right, so now Brett, of course...
Backstage.
Bugging out.
Yeah.
Crazy girl doesn't know what's going on.
Vince has locked himself in his office and he can't...
I can't believe the cameras are still running at this point. You feel like he would have had security there to just whisk everyone out, you know what I mean?
I know. It's crazy.
And these guys aren't stupid either.
Yeah, Sean and Hunter booking it.
Yeah.
Brett's just... Again, just probably shell-shocked about what happened. And Sean vows he wasn't in on it. Of course, lying through his teeth.
Pretty much. Brett's talking. I don't know who's talking right now.
Sean is.
Oh, they ended up going in the room. That's right.
Yeah, Sean's saying he, basically he had nothing to do with it. He wasn't in on it. And I wonder if Brett honestly believed him at any level.
No, I don't think
I doubt it, yeah. I don't think I would.
No, I would. I wouldn't believe anybody right now.
This is gray hair. Julie just starts ripping into everyone. Say they all knew it. Hunter lying right to her face. And the piece of garbage that he is. At least Blade got the fake Road Warrior. Do you have those, Scott? I'm sure you still wear them.
Yes, I do. In fact, they're at my desk right now. And poor Animal. Speaking of Road Warrior, Animal sitting there like, I didn't do nothing wrong.
Yeah, I was just walking by for soda. I got caught up in this.
Hunter's like, fuck you, bitch.
You all know about it. I was like, oh, geez, lady, go away. What goes around comes around. You're going to own the company someday, be a multimillionaire.
Marry the daughter and all that
shit. Karma really got him. Well, I guess he did have sex with Chata for many years, so it was kind of his payback, I think.
That was him building up the karma.
Owen's like, she's probably like, oh, you're quitting, right? I can't.
Can I get this push coming up?
Hold on, I'm quitting. Fuck this shit. Okay, quitting.
Is Brett telling the story about how he punched Vince? Is that a rose on a shirt?
I know. What is that?
It is. Aww,
do you think he just goes to a store and is like, give me the weirdest, ugliest shit you have?
Give those fucked up stuff. Yeah. Oh, good God. It's not even, it's like a rubber plastic thing.
Is Vince hobbling out?
Jack is at like, like twice the length they should be.
Overselling the attack. We're driving another car here. Are we in the hotel? Where are we at?
I think this is a plane,
it's
yeah.
Like a plane, yeah.
Yes, we're on a plane. Quite the day when you could run a video camera on the plane like this.
I know. Well,
You think Vince
was making that kind of money?
Huh?
Did Brett have a private jet there? Was he making that kind of money?
I don't know. Oh, maybe. Maybe it was part of his contract. You think Vince made him get back the ring?
I knew you were going to get screwed.
I told you. There.
Are you have Stu on right now?
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That Stu is going to come in at some point.
You have Vince on, right?
Doing yeah.
The Vince screw on Brett. Right now, yes. Yeah, this was, again, going back to 2 weeks later. Brett. I don't know if that's makeup. I think the black eye just, you know.
Would it have lasted that long, though? I think it's makeup.
Well, he's obviously wearing makeup. So they could have covered it, right?
I don't think it still would have been there. I mean,
yeah,
it's like 2 weeks after.
Well, it doesn't happened. Look like, you know, misshapen. It's just a weird discoloration.
Yeah, I think it's fake.
Didn't? And again, I'm just guessing on this. Didn't Vince tell him if you want to hit me, hit me?
Jeez, I don't remember.
Was it something like that, where he pretty much said, you know,
you get one shot or something.
You get one shot, make it count or something like that.
Might have.
And then Shane was gonna hit Brett. Like, the whole thing was crazy.
Well, he fell into Shane, I think, or something.
Yeah. That looks like a tuxedo shirt.
Pirate shirt. Brett basically just, you know, telling his side of the story once more, saying he did all he could. You know, he thought he was reasonable, but Vince didn't see it that way. So as we wrap up here, just quick thoughts on the movie itself. Andy, what'd you think?
Go with Scott first.
All right.
I'm too captivated by the video game here.
Go ahead, Scott.
I thought it was a fantastic job by these documentary. I like, believe it or not, I like watching a movie by people who don't know wrestling because they'll just shoot everything.
Mm.
You know, when you're a fan or something like that, or you know, you have specific in company restrictions, you don't feel like you're getting the full Monty. But these guys, these Canadian, I had no freaking clue what was going on. They just shot everything. I don't think you would have gotten as much of the backstage stuff as we did get. So that's why I think this is a gem for any wrestling fan to have in their collection. Because it's just – forget the fact of what actually happened. It was just so well shot, you know.
And again –
yeah. I was going to say, he was promised that they weren't going to make fun of him. And of course
I think this is fake as well. This does not look real. And I think he said I think he even said it in his book that he didn't really watch Raw or anything like that, but. Or maybe they showed it to him or something.
But if you're Brett, at this point you're going to be like, I guess I shouldn't expect anything less.
Mm.
Like, I wouldn't be too pissed off at this.
I remember kind of being duped and thinking he may actually come out on that Raw. And this is where the movie ends, is Brett and Stu hobbling off into the sunset.
If I were Brett, I'd be more upset. Man, they made that mask really ugly of me.
Yeah, right.
More look like you. He looked at his wife and said, "More looks like you." Looks like me.
All right, Andy, Jesus, now what are your thoughts?
Really not stand upright? My God.
No, he's old, dude. He's like 90.
Yeah, but he's bent over lower and lower. God. I'll still kick his ass.
All right, Andy, thoughts?
Yeah, I have kind of the same feeling. It's definitely worth it just for, you know, by the weird coincidence or luck or whatever that they got this footage of this, you know, this seminal event here.
Right.
I feel like it's a strange documentary because, like, they didn't know what they were getting into.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, like, I get the feeling they didn't quite know how to tell the story. And, like, you know, in the immediate aftermath, it looks like they're just kind of, like, turning the cameras on and off willy-nilly because they don't really know what the hell to do.
Right.
But just seeing all that footage is really amazing, and it's definitely worth watching again.
Yeah, the footage itself and the story that they fell into is great. I can't say it's like a great documentary as far as aesthetically done or like technically done, but yeah. I think the material they were given was so good that they kind of fucked it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of what you're saying, but
yeah, that's pretty much what I was trying to say.
But no, it's definitely worthwhile watch, and it's one of the best. You know, wrestling-based movies or documentaries you'll see. I don't know if it's... I'd probably rank Beyond the Mat a little bit higher, but it's up there.
I don't know.
Do you think it's better than Beyond the Mat?
I like both very, very much. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. After watching them now recently again together, I'd have to say that I think in terms of the approach to the documentary, what they were trying to get out of it, I think I like this one better.
Well, to me, Beyond the Mat has more rewatchability quality and more material, I guess. Right. Well, there's so much going on in that movie to me. That's great. And they're both great. I don't want to come across like I don't like this one. I love this one. I just think Beyond the Mat was better.
Okay. I haven't seen Beyond the Mat as recently as you guys did, but I feel like there was more of a story. Like there's more of a cohesion to it.
Yes, there definitely is. Yeah, they definitely. I mean, yeah, they also have more time, but they
True.
Yeah, there's definitely way more to that. I mean, there's all different stories weaved in and out. And I mean, that was done by, you know, a real veteran of the documentary stuff. But
yeah,
there's definitely more meat to Beyond the Mat. There's more things going on. This was, like you said, just it's like they happened to record a whole bunch of footage and ass backwards fell into this and they edited it in a way to tell a story.
Yeah.
And honestly, the editing, I will say this, though, the editing could have been a lot better. If you had legitimate good post-production people, the timeline would have been a lot
Yeah.
clearer. They did kind of go all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, non-wrestling fans wouldn't notice, but I could definitely see wrestling fans kind of, you know, ones like us that are obsessive about the stuff that catch every little inaccuracy would, you know, are driven right. mad by it because it's really all over the place. So
but they're both exceptional. We highly recommend both, but I don't know. I just like this one better, but I understand what you're saying about the post-production making it kind of herky-jerky. Yeah, obviously, Beyond the Mat is memorable because of the characters. There's right. there's no Dennis Stamps or Roland Alexanders in this one. But,
right.
Well, Stu, and I guess again, Stu. Although I don't know, Stu Brockus and his wife provide enough comedy relief for.
Yeah, but not as much as Beyond the Mat.
Not as much as I mean, Stamp and Roland are legends.
All right. So before we wrap, any final thoughts?
Andy, you first.
No, I don't have any. Sorry.
Okay.
You're kind of like Monty, the color guy in the color commentator in Major League, when Bob Uecker turns to him. Got anything to say? Nope. He's not the best color guy in the business for nothing. you're still the best, Tower. Again, I think it's a good snapshot of what was going on at that time in wrestling. It seemed very there was a lot of tension. It was a lot of foreboding. It was not a fun time probably to be in the WWF because you know WCW was beating them senseless. Vince was not, I don't think Vince was in his right mind completely at this point. I don't think he knew how to handle Brett. I think he knew Brett was a little touchy. And you and I said it, JR, Monday night with Kyle. Brett probably painted Vince into a corner. And Brett kind of thought he thought Vince would find a better way when in reality he gave Vince no other way,
right.
really. I know Kyle said Sean deserves a lot of the blame for this, but Sean was nothing more than collateral damage.
Yeah.
It was between these two guys. Sean was just – I'm not saying Sean was to blame. Sean lied to his face, and that's pretty gutless. But,
well, the problem with Sean was that he had pushed Brett so far that Brett refused to drop the title to him. If Sean wasn't right. such well, a big that, dick, it yeah, probably wouldn't have been as big of a problem.
Exactly. But the fact that Brett was – he is a mark for himself.
Right.
And he pushed Vince so far to the point where I have no other choice. And you know, Bischoff was in a good position right now. He was holding all the cards. So, definitely something you should watch. And I mean, I don't know if I would watch 97 Survivor Series and then this back to back and you just get an amazing full.
Yeah, definitely.
Encapsulation.
Yeah, that's definitely the way to do it. I agree. Yeah. So, all right, let's take a quick break, Scott. So I want to thank Andrew for joining us as always. Very entertaining. Hope you had fun appearing on the show here.
I did all that. Yeah, I had a good time. Thanks.
All right, we'll definitely have you in a couple weeks as we won't announce quite yet what it's going to entail, but should be spectacular. So.
It's going to be very unique.
Yes.
Let's put it that way.
All right, let's take a break. Why is that, Scott?
Because when we come back, we're going to...
What? Because nothing.
Because.
Because. Because.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Yes, WrestleChat.net, indeed. your home for everything pro wrestling. All the news and notes you need from WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor. They have a great message board. Check out their podcast, The Champ, Jeff Beck, and his announcer. And of course, while you're perusing the site, you look to the right, you see the PTB Gnome, proudly worn by Jordan Duncan. Click on it, and you'll go to our full archive, courtesy of our good friends at Podbean. That is WrestleChat.net, indeed where it's at. Also, don't forget the history of WWE.com, our friend Grant Cawthon. Outstanding research site, ring results, DVD reviews, everything you need is there. Also, check out our show on Stitcher.com, whether you have iPhone, Android, any kind of phone or any kind of player, tablet. Go to it. You can listen to our shows anytime. And then, of course, also on iTunes. And, of course, check out our message board, Bigelow34.proboards.com. We're always talking wrestling, sports, anything you want. Check out JR's and my reviews. We talk Raw, SmackDown, all sorts of stuff. And don't forget to help out our friend Jay Womet. Still dealing with a lot of physical issues with his leg and a touch of skin cancer, but he's a fighter, and he's a great fan of the show. And if you want to help him, check the link on our board, Bigelow34.proboards.com, and you can help him out. He's a great guy.
Hey, Place to Be Nation, this is Gary Michael Capetta, and this is the Place to Be Podcast with Scott Risola and Justin Rosero.
All right, Nation, we are back. Andrew has left. Hope you enjoyed our review of Wrestling with Shadows. Always fun to
great.
Throw that in and watch it.
I hadn't seen that in quite a while.
Yeah,
so,
it's always a good good to throw in. So a lot of fun there, and look forward to your feedback on that. But Scott, with that out of the way, you know what time it is.
Take the field.
It is time to take the field for week 7 of the NFL season.
Yes, and you're right now. My PIC owning the field.
Mollywopping you.
You mollywop. Yes, exactly. You are non sequituring me. You have forged ahead 4 games. You have 56, and I have 52. Good week for you. And in our extra points, if you add up the total number of points plus and minus, you are mollywomping me as well. You are at plus 6, and I am at minus 2.
Oof, might as well just wrap this up for the year.
Yeah, I think so. You have no. I got a chance. We're still over halfway of the season. You're picking good upsets, though.
Whatever makes you feel better.
Well, we need something to end. We need something to do on the Wednesday shows. We need to stretch it somehow. To recap week 6, we both got our locks right. I took Tampa Bay, and you took Atlanta. That lock was a little tenuous, you did get a lock. The upsets, I did take the Cowboys, and they did hang around with the Ravens. In fact, they had almost 500 yards of offense, but again, penalties, as they always do, and more Dez issues came away with a loss. You took the Browns, who I thought were going to win anyway. I think I picked them regardless, but they came away with a win over the Bengals. And the suicide, Arizona, I took, and they laid a whomper. And you had a big suicide. Boy, you were dangerous here, taking the Titans.
Yes.
And came away with a big win on Thursday night over the Steelers. So there you go.
No, I didn't take the Titans. I took Pittsburgh.
Oh, you took Pittsburgh.
Yes, okay. So I have 5 of them.
All right, so you're a plus. You're a plus 5. You still have a 7-point lead. So, okay. Yes. So we both got our suicides wrong that week. Okay. No problem there. So you're at minus. You're a plus 7, a plus 5, and I am at minus 2. Okay. Let us do week number 7.
A lot of buys this week.
A lot of buys. A very short week. Mm-hmm. Very short week. So why don't we dive right in? Your buys. The following teams are off this week. A lot of not a lot of heavyweights, but the Falcons are off. The Broncos. The Chiefs, the Dolphins, the Eagles, and the Chargers are all off this week.
Okay.
So there we go. All right. We've got one Thursday night game. We have our Sunday games. Let's see. Let's 8 1 o'clocks, 2 4 o'clocks, the NBC night game, and, of course, the Monday night game. Are you ready, sir?
Yep.
We begin Thursday night. Tomorrow night, tonight, I guess.
Whatever.
Depending when you're listening to this.
Thursday night.
Or already happened. Yes. Thursday night football from Candlestick Park in San Francisco. Speaking of teams that got mollywomped, the 49ers, who, I mean, they just got bullied.
Mm-hmm.
Bullied on Sunday afternoon by the Giants. hosting Seattle, who pulled a stunner out of nowhere against the
I wouldn't say it was out of nowhere. I mean, I heavily debated them when we talked about it last week in the show. Yeah, the Patriots can't close a game out. That's their problem.
Yeah, it is.
Seattle took advantage.
Yes. I think the 49ers rebound here. I can't see them looking this bad 2 weeks in a row at home. And the Seahawks are certainly not the Giants. So I'm going to take the Niners at home. I think they rebound and get the win.
Me too. And, you know, if this was in Seattle, may I pick differently. But Seattle's just a different team on the road. So, but Bill Barnwell on Grantland.com actually had a pretty interesting article breaking down that Niners-Giants game and kind of explains why it wasn't really as dominant as it may have seemed based on the score. So,
well, I'm not a big fan of... Well, I'm not a big Alex Smith fan, and I'm really not a big Kaepernick fan either. I don't really like either guy, so I don't, you know. I mean, Smith statistically has had a good year, but I still don't think he's a winner. I said that last year when we were talking postseason. I still think
yeah, but it wasn't his fault that they lost that game.
No, but I mean they, you know, the Giants played a good basic game.
No, I don't mean this game this week. I meant in the playoffs last year.
Oh no, I know, but you know, some guys just don't play lousy and just don't win. I feel like he's one of those guys. But we'll talk more about that as we head into
kind of like Matt Rotella
deep into the season. Except when he's, you know, yes. Except when he's in certain places. Yes.
Except when he's making it rain.
Yeah. Up in here. All right, so we both like the Niners at home in that one. But you know what's funny? Everybody now says it. If this game was at home, I'd pick the Seahawks. That's like everybody's hook from now on. If this game was at home, I'd pick the Seahawks. Yeah, I think the Niners win this game. All right, let's go to Sunday. We begin at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, where the Panthers will host the Dallas Cowboys. Panthers coming off, they were off last week. They're coming off a bye. Cowboys coming off the first of their five-game gauntlet, 4-5 on the road, a 31-29 loss to the Ravens. Dan Bailey missed a 51-yard field goal that should not have been that long because instead of Dez Bryant yelping and bitching and moaning, they could have run one more play in those last 30 seconds and at least given Dan Bailey maybe 6 or 7 closer yards, which in a swirling wind in the mid-Atlantic coast makes a big difference. They pushed around the Ravens' defense, but Joe Flacco made a couple nice plays, and the Cowboys didn't when they needed to, although they did move the ball around. I mean, almost 470 yards of offense and fell 2 points short. Of course, I'm going to pick them, but I think they would win anyway. This is a winnable game for the Cowboys, although, as usual, you know them. They'll keep it close, and then Cam Newton will run a broken bootleg 85 yards for a touchdown or some nonsense, but you never know. Cowboys need to win this one. I mean, they've got the Giants at home next week and then back-to-back home road games at Atlanta and at Philadelphia. Not fun. This is a game they need to win. I'm taking the Cowboys.
I agree. They need to win this game. I think they will win this game. And if they don't, I think Jason Garrett is getting fired. He is a terrible coach. That whole game was a disaster.
His
clock management. And not only do they have back-to-back illegal shift penalties, which is, you know, unheard of.
Inexcusable.
They also don't seem to be able to get a play in on time, which is amazing to me as well. So I think Garrett is gone after the year regardless, unless they make some kind of miracle run. But I think if they lose this game, he may be done.
Well, we talked before we went on the air the other night. I was talking with our man Kyle Forchetti, fellow Cowboy fan. There is some disconnect between the play coming out of Jason Garrett's brain and the ball and the hike coming out of Tony Romo's mouth. Something is wrong. You shouldn't be down. The play clock should not be down to 2 seconds every friggin' play. Maybe when you're in the fourth quarter and you're looking for advantages and audibles on defense in a 2-minute drill, one thing. But when you're doing it like, you know, 6 minutes into the game, something's wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. There's legit problems there.
Some disconnect. I don't.
I'm not going to be surprised if you see John Gruden patrolling your sidelines down to Dallas next year.
You know what? I'll take it because at least he's a badass and he will not accept shitty penalties. Which is once again,
They need some discipline down there. That's for sure.
It's a mess. Jason Garrett. I don't know what happened. I thought he was a genius, but his brain turned to about as doughy as Wade Phillips' body. So I don't know.
He'll be calling plays in like Minnesota or something next year.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we go to Ralph Wilson Stadium in Buffalo. The Bills coming off a nice road win over Arizona, hosting Tennessee with a clutch home win that last week over Pittsburgh. This is a tough one, JR, because, you know, the Bills are week to week. You know, they look great 1 week, they look crappy the next. Same thing with Tennessee. So this is a coin flipper, and when it comes to coin flippers, I take the home team. So I'm going to take Buffalo that'll come up with a big home win here. If they want to make any kind of playoff push, this is the game. This is the kind of game they need to win. So I'm going to take Buffalo.
All right, looking at the rest of the schedule this week, I'm just not crazy about a lot of the underdogs. So the ones to me that are kind of the toss-ups are the way I go. So I'm going to take Tennessee here as my upset of the week. I think they're playing a little hot. I think Hasselbeck's got things settled down for them. And I think they're going to Buffalo and win a pellet fight.
Okay. So we both like Buffalo. So you said you like Buffalo?
Yep.
Okay.
So no, Tennessee.
So you like Tennessee. Okay.
God.
Next, MetLife Stadium. Trying to see if I can throw you off, you know. Mind shift. Let's go to MetLife Stadium, the Snoopy Bowl in the Meadowlands, where the New York Football Giants host the Washington Redskins, who swept the Giants in two games last season, and they're better this year. However, obviously RG3 still a little shaky. They did get the win last week against Minnesota. I know the Giants are due for a dumb loss. They haven't had one yet. I don't know if this one's it or not, and I wouldn't really call this as dumb a loss as when they lost to the Redskins last season.
Yes.
If this game, using the same thing, if this game was at the FedEx Field, I would lean towards the Redskins. I see the Giants getting their business done at home this week.
Me too. They've been pretty solid this year. They don't seem to be lapsing into those issues. And yeah, Washington had their number last year. I think the Giants, you know, see that. And you know what? They need a divisional win. So this is a pretty damn big game for them. They're already 0-2 in the division. So I like the Giants here to pick up the win over Washington.
As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to make the I think I'm going to make the Giants my lock this week.
Oh, look at you.
Look at me. So I think the Giants are my lock this week to win.
Okay.
Next, Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, where the Bucks, Graciano doing a pretty damn good job down there, totally motivating these Bucks. They host the New Orleans Saints. I just don't like the Saints at all. I just don't like their makeup right now. I'm not crazy about them right now. So I'm going to take Tampa Bay at home. I feel like that Shiano's really got these guys believing in themselves. Something Raheem Morris just never brought to the table, that fire. You know, Josh.
Who did they beat last week?
Tampa beat Kansas City.
Oh, wow.
Blew them out.
Yeah, big win.
Yeah, I know. It's nothing impressive. But you know what? They're at home, and the Saints are good, but, you know, they got the weapons. But particularly on the road, they've had struggles on defense. So
they have struggled in Tampa last year, even when they were good the last couple of years.
Yeah, so I'm going to take the Bucks at home.
Well, this is my lock of the week. I'm taking the New Orleans Saints. I think they had a week off to rest. They're coming off a good win on over Green Bay, right? They beat.
No,
who did they beat? And then
New Orleans beat
out of practice.
Yeah,
Green Bay, didn't they?
No, the Saints were off last week.
No, the week before.
The week before was San Diego.
San Diego, that's what I meant. Yes, they beat San Diego. That was a big win for them, beating San Diego. Yeah. Getting the week off. Jonathan Vilma says he will be back. And Lance Moore will be back on the offense as well. So I like the Saints here to go into Tampa and win. I think they're going to get a little bit. I'm not going crazy on them, but I think they're going to win a couple here and get back to close to 500.
Okay.
Next. Too much pride on that team, I think, to roll over and win two games.
Okay. Next, we go to Reliance Stadium in Houston, where, speaking of a team that rolled over, and I think a lot of it was just confusion on defense. The Houston Texans, who got our favorite word this week, mollywomped by the Packers on Sunday night, which was a game that was a life support game for the Packers.
Yeah, they needed that win bad. Yeah.
So they host Baltimore, who now is without two of their biggest defensive stars. Ray Lewis out for the year, torn bicep muscle, I believe. And Dunn is out for the year with a torn MCL or ACL, one of the CLs. I think it's MCL.
Who?
Dunn.
Ladarius Webb, you mean?
I mean Webb, I'm sorry. He's out for the year with a torn, I think it's MCL. So some holes on defense for the Packers, Ravens. They're not the running game not great to begin with. I think you see a lot of Foster. I think Texans win at home.
Yeah, me too. Baltimore's really hurting. Like you said, Ray Lewis. I don't think Ray Lewis is actually as big of a loss as the media is making it out to be, because I don't think he plays as well as he used to. So, I mean, leadership-wise, it's a loss. But on the field, I don't think it hurts as much. Ladarius was a major blow. And apparently, Ed Reed said he's been playing with a torn labrum all year, so that's not good either. But
Jesus.
Yeah, their run defense is terrible, so I think Houston just runs up and down the field on them, and they get back on track after that loss to Green Bay. So I like Houston here as well.
Okay. Next, we go to Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, where the Colts will host the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland finally gets a win as they beat the Bengals last week. Whereas the Colts, as you saw, my friend, mollywomped by your Jets.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, nice to finally see a game like that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I think Cleveland wins this game. I don't know who you have. I know you have the
Indy's favorite. Yep.
Indy's favorite. So I'm gonna. You did it as your upset last week. I'm gonna do it as my upset this week. I like the Browns to win. This game. I think Whedon's looking pretty good. Andrew Luck is due for a real stinker. I mean, I know.
Yeah, we just saw it last week.
But I think a home stinker is. Okay. I think he needs a little more humbling before we anoint him.
All right, Iron Sheik.
I think. Dirty black dog. I'm gonna take the Browns on the road.
All right, I'm gonna take the Browns as well. And there's one reason. I just watched the Jets, who haven't had much of a run game all year, run for like 230 yards on the Colts. So I think Trent Richardson and Montario Hardesty just do some damage here. I think they run up and down on the Colts as well. And, you know, Cleveland's defense is pretty good with Joe Hayden and, you know, back in the fold and everything like that. So I think with him on Reggie Wayne, I think Luck does struggle a little bit at home. And I think that emotion that carried them to that Packers win is starting to seep away a little bit. I think they'll get the boost going back home, but I think Cleveland goes in there and sneaks out a win.
Okay. Next, to the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis, where the Packers, coming off again, the big win Sunday night over Houston, take on the St. Louis Rams, who I believe were off last week.
No, they lost to Miami in a game that they should have won because they outgained them by like 300 yards or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just couldn't punch it in.
Yeah. I'm going to take the Packers here. I think they've righted the ship. Aaron Rodgers looked great. Sam Bradford does not look good. Even in that win against the Cardinals, the Rams offense looked atrocious. Their defense is solid, but I don't think they can hold this Packer offense down for four quarters. I'm going to take the Packers on the road.
Yeah, me too. The Rams at home are tough, and they've been playing pretty well there, and you're going in there on Green Bay on the road, but I think they've got their offense back rolling again, and I can't see St. Louis shutting them down. So I like Green Bay here as well. Actually, I'm going to take this as my suicide.
As your suicide pick? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you are taking...
Actually, did I do my lock yet?
You've done nothing yet.
Okay, that's my lock.
Oh, you did your lock. Your lock was the Saints.
Okay.
You haven't done your upset.
Saints. Actually, you know what? Flip it. Saints is my suicide. I haven't used them yet, right?
Let's see. You have not. No.
Okay, so let's do Saints as suicide. Green Bay is my lock, because I may need Green Bay down the road.
Okay. All right, so there you go. Okay, so you like the... Don't check that again. So you like the Packers, as do I. Okay, yes. Next.
For a lock.
We go to... Yes, your lock. We go to Mall of America Field in Minneapolis, where the Vikings...
Pasta Mania is running wild at the Mall of America.
Woo! Pasta Mania. Was that the only one?
I think
so. I can't imagine there were other ones. The Vikings home to the Arizona Cardinals. The Vikings coming off the loss in Washington. Cardinals losing at home to Buffalo. I think the shine has dulled on the Cardinals. I like the Vikings here and a nice home rebound win after losing in Washington.
Yeah, me too. I'll take Minnesota here as well. That was a stupid loss. I don't know what happened to their defense. You know, they just no-showed that game. But I think back home, Arizona's offensive line has been a friggin' train wreck. And I think, you know, with Cobb out and Skelton in, I think he's just going to get murdered by Minnesota's defensive line. I think Jared Allen's going to have like three or four sacks probably.
In fact, I have not used them yet. They're going to be my suicide pick.
Yeah, it's a good pick.
The Vikings is my suicide pick.
One of the smartest moves you've made in your life.
All right. Another smart move is doing this game next, as we go to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. All right. The J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Back on track, baby. Tied for, actually, nominally in first because they own the tiebreaker.
Right. So this is you're actually catching them. I don't know whether you catch them at a bad time or a good time.
Bad time.
The Jets head to Foxborough to take the Patriots, and you never want to face the Pats after.
But you know what? We said that before, and they've already lost back-to-back games. I mean, this Patriots team looks mortal a little bit, you know, especially on defense. Their secondary is atrocious. I mean, Russell Wilson just covered them up with deep balls, and they cannot close out games. I don't know what it is. They cannot get that first down when they need it. They were stonewalled again on Sunday against Seattle. And I really think that they are, I think they're in trouble, honestly. I, you know, they're still going to probably win that division, and they're still going to make the playoffs, but this is not the dominant Pats team we're used to seeing.
No. And I, although I think just based on that, I'm going to take the Pats only for the reason that I think your running game is not going to do what it did last week. And this is,
Well, I'm actually more worried about the Pats running game because last year they just ran up and down on the Jets, and that was with Ben Jarvis Grinnell. And I think their run game this year is better for New England, and I'm afraid that they're going to do that no-huddle run thing and just pick up 5 or 6 yards at a clip because the Jets' run defense has not been good this year, similar to last year. Now, on the flip side, I agree with you. I don't think the Jets' run game is going to be good, but if I know Tony Sperano, he likes that big, deep ball, chunk play action. So I can see, you know, a couple of runs here and there, but I think they're going to empty it out. I think they already said they're going to have Antonio Cromartie on offense. I think they're going to have him and Stephen Hill and Curley going deep, and they're going to try and pick on those Pat secondary D-backs that are just terrible. And that's what I would do, honestly. I just put Stephen Hill out on Devin McCourty, Cromartie out on him, just throw it up. McCourty's always lost. He's turned around. He's looking all different ways, and you'll at least get a pass interference or a big reception. And getting Stephen Hill back last week, you know, getting him back in the rhythm for this game, I think was huge. So, you know, the loss of Holmes hurt them, but their weapons aren't bad at this point. You know, Curley's really developed into a great possession, kind of Jericho Cotchery-style receiver. Stephen Hill's a guy that they haven't had since Braylon Edwards left, where he can run down the field and stretch it. And if you throw Cromartie out there for a handful of plays, he can do the same. And even that guy, Jordan White, and then the other guy, Hill, that they picked up as well. You know, these guys aren't, you know, they can catch the ball. They're not terrible. So if Sanchez can be on his game, and, you know, they got Keller back as well, so he's got his guys there. If the offensive line could give him time like they did against Indianapolis, that's the key. then I think he can hit up this defense passing wise. So I may be a little naive, but I'm feeling better about the team than I was a week ago. And looking at their schedule and the rest of the AFC is just, you know, the way Pittsburgh's been playing, there's no, I mean, who is the leader for the wild card? Miami and the Jets, I'd say the two next best teams, honestly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think they have a good chance of making the playoffs still. I really do.
Well, I think this is going to be a hard one to win. I got to be honest.
Oh,
with you.
Of course
I think,
it is. Yeah.
I think that I have a feeling Guskowski's going to redeem himself for pretty much being goddamn awful the last like few weeks. I think the Pats win this one, but I think you'll give them a fight. It always is. There's. I don't think you'll ever see blowouts again, at least for the near future between these two teams again. But I have a feeling it's a home and home. So I'm going to take the Pats in this one.
I mean, they need to. The key is they need to hit and rattle Brady early. They need to get pressure on him. If they can do that, rattle him, they got a chance, because that's what Seattle did. You know, Brady was covering him up, and they decked him. And after that hit, he wasn't the same. So the interesting thing to me will be, without Revis, what do they do on the Patriots receivers? Where do they put Cromartie? Do they put him on Gronkowski? Do they put him out on Lloyd? And, you know, who covers Welker? That's the key as well. They're going to stick Kyle Wilson on him, Ellis Langster. You know, they have the safeties to cover now that they didn't have in the past in Laurent Landry and Jeremiah Bell. So maybe they put them on Gronkowski and Hernandez. I'm not sure. But, you know, I think the defensive line showed improvement. Quentin Copeland had a good game last week. So Maben seemed to finally wake up. So if they can get a couple cracks on Brady and rattle him, I'm taking the Jets here. I'm still going to hang on. I still haven't picked against him. I'm not completely confident, but I feel better than I did. I feel better than I did a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
If you got me before last week's game, I would have said they were going to get wiped out by 40. But I like the improvements, and I want to see how they use Tebow in this game as well. So,
okay, yeah, I think I agree. I think it's going to be a very tough game on both sides of the ball. I think Sanchez is going to get his opportunity to air it out and to try and touch the secondary. I think it's going to be a close game late, but. You know how you say never bet against Cena? Well, right. I rarely bet against Brady at home.
Well, me
it
neither.
Happen
but
that often,
yeah,
so.
Me neither. But Brady and Belichick haven't really been the same, and their defense is just not good. And I think, you know, if you're Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez, you're kind of sniffing the blood in the water a little bit. You're like, man, if we can go in there and throw in this team and hit Brady early, we get a really good chance to take control of this division, because they can be up basically a game and a half with the win. So I think, you know, and then they got Miami next week, and all of a sudden you're looking at maybe 4-0 in the division. You know, I'm getting ahead of myself, but
right. It's
there for them, and I think they can do it. Yeah. They just have to execute. That's all.
Okay. All right. The other 4 o'clock game, we go to Oakland Alameda County Coliseum for the Raiders and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville... they were off last week. They're up and down. Sometimes their offense actually doesn't look that bad. Other times, it looks very sluggish. The Raiders gave the Falcons a pretty decent scare. I'm gonna take them at home. I think they've also, I think, righted the ship a little bit. I think their offense is getting a little more balanced. Palmer's throwing the ball well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take the Raiders at home.
Yeah, I'm with you here as well, Oakland. Jacksonville's terrible. So.
Our Sunday night game. This is a weird one because you got two teams that really embarrassingly took it on the chin last week.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, who lost at home to Tennessee, right? I think that game. No, that game was in Tennessee.
It was in Tennessee, yeah.
It was in Tennessee. They lose, still a team they should have beaten, against the Bengals, who lose in Cleveland.
I'll tell you, Scott, I don't like your boy Andy Dalton this year. He's not looked sharp. He has not looked great.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I'm kind of agreeing with you, right? This is a tough sophomore slump for him. He threw 3 touchdowns, but he threw 3 picks, and a couple of them weren't great.
I'll tell you this, though. The team that wins this game puts himself in position to maybe steal that division, because with all those injuries to Baltimore, see, the key to Baltimore is they built up such a lead. With these narrow wins, I mean, they're 5-1. If Pittsburgh loses this game, they're 2-4, which, you know, puts them in quite the hole. Now they still have both games to Baltimore to go, but the winner of this game sets themselves up to maybe make a run at Baltimore. The loser, I think, is going to have a hard time recovering.
Okay. Again, I have to go with the home team. I'm going to take the Bengals. They beat the Steelers last year, or was it 2 years ago? And they, you know, and they've been competitive with them. I'm not going to jump off my man Dalton's bandwagon yet. I see him playing a good game. They'll run the ball well. And I think Pittsburgh it'll be a close game, but I'll say Cincinnati ekes it out at home.
No, I'll take Pittsburgh here.
Okay. Finally, Monday night, another big rivalry at Soldier Field in Chicago. The Bears host the Detroit Lions. Detroit with an overtime win over the god-awful Eagles. And the Bears had off last week, but let me tell you something. I saw these guys firsthand 2 weeks ago on Monday night. They are very good.
Yeah, they're arguably, I mean, you could argue they're the best team right now.
Their defense is, I'm still not a Jay Cutler fan, but their defense is badass. They are attacking.
Cutler's been fine this year. He had that one bad game. Against Green Bay, that was it.
Well, the defense sets him up too, and right. gets him. You know, they don't defense have to. They don't. He's. I just don't like him, and I think that. God. But I think they're going to win this game. Actually, Detroit.
Detroit needed that win last week. That was a season saver for them. What are they? Are they 2-4 or 2-3?
Let's see. Detroit. Let me look at a quick.
While you're doing that, I like Chicago as well at home. Until they get beaten by someone lesser. I mean, Green Bay needed that win week two, so.
Yeah,
2-3. So I mean, they can kind of afford the loss, but maybe not. I don't know. I don't see Detroit going in there and doing much. Though I think Chicago wins this game.
Yeah, and after that, the Lions entertain Seattle next week at Ford Field.
They entertain.
Yeah, it is entertained. So, I'm gonna take the. You're right though. I mean, I should probably bite my tongue until Jay Cutler really plays hideous. He had that one bad game against the Packers. We'll see. At home, he should be fine. Detroit's defense has been a little shaky, and particularly their secondary has given up a lot of big plays. So I'm gonna take the Bears at home as well on Monday night.
Okay.
So there are our picks. Let me see. Is there anything missing? You've not picked an upset. I have everything covered. My lock is the Giants. My upset is the Browns. And my suicide is the Vikings. Your lock is the Packers. Your upset is the Browns. You haven't picked an upset. And your suicide is the Saints.
I didn't pick an upset?
You did not pick an upset.
I did. Tennessee.
Oh, you did say Tennessee. Okay, there you go.
Oh, my God. You are terrible at bookkeeping.
Yeah, well, that's why I usually am the muscle of the mafia. Yeah. Anyway, all right, there we go. There's your Week 7 picks.
And there is your episode of Wrestling with Shadows in the books, NFL Week 7 in the books. So that's it for this week, Scotty. Next week, what are we going to tap? We have In Your House DX on Monday.
Yes.
And we have headlines on Wednesday. Kyle Forshady comes back for the NFL Around the League. We're going to hit up Hell in a Cell preview, and we're going to hit up some wrestling news and notes, and we're going to do our NFL Week 8 predictions, and we'll probably recap a little bit of baseball, maybe, if I'm in the mood.
Yeah, sure.
Depends if A-Rod's traded by then.
Exactly, yeah. Might already be next Ozzie Guillen. God only knows.
All right, I don't think he may be there. I don't know if Ozzie will be there. We need to.
We sit next to Jose Reyes. How about that?
We need to announce a contest we've drawn up with our buddy Jay Womet. Now, this is all to benefit him in his battle with lymphedema. So here's the deal, PTB Nation. For the month of November, whichever nation member donates the most to Jay Womet, and you know what we mean by donate. Whoever gives Jay the most business, and he's going to keep track for us. At the last day of November, we're going to get the results from Jay, and the winner gets 3 prizes. They win an appearance on any Vintage Vault of their choosing with us to co-host along.
As long as there's not a guest, yes. As long as there's not a guest already.
Yes. Yeah, we got a few lined up already. So you just let us know which you'd like to be on. Okay. You get to choose any throwback for us to review. So you can pick anything, and we'll review it, whatever you wish. And out of the generosity of his heart, J.O. will add 10 bonus discs to your order. So there you go. That's a pretty good haul, I think.
That's big. That's big time.
Yeah, that's 10 extra, 10 extra features for you from Jay, and you get to host a show and pick another one for us to review. So I think it's a decent prize. So that goes to the person who puts in the biggest order with Jay in the month of November. Of course, this is all to benefit him. Going to help Jay out. So one of our biggest fans and a great guy. So we really want to help him out. And we all win doing this. You guys get some great merchandise, and Jay gets the money to help pay for his medical bills. So Jay will have a little spreadsheet going, and we'll keep track. And maybe we'll do a weekly update or something, who's in the lead. So there you go. Biggest order wins in the month of November.
Now, just for the throwback, give us, for the winner, give us a few, because there may be some may not have available. So just think about, give us like 2 or 3 throwbacks. If we have it, great. If not, just take some.
All right, cool. So there you have it. Everyone, you got a couple weeks if you need any refresher on the rules, but we're going to kick that off November 1st. So any orders placed before November 1st do not count towards the contest. All right, Scott, let's wrap things up. We'll be back next Monday with In Your House DX. Until then, everyone have a great weekend. You too, Scott. Have a great weekend. I'll stop it with Jay Cutler. I think he banged your girlfriend or something. Then maybe he did.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. Not